United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credit.
Kim Baker resigned as head of the PTL club.
Well, so Print, signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It is 12 minutes after the hour of 12 noon here on Christmas Eve 2013. I hope you guys are out and getting ready for your Christmas that's going to take place on tomorrow. You're looking for your family, your friends to come in. Steve is in the chat room. Annie just walked in. I think, Annie, turn that, see if the mic is on. Hey, Annie.
Hello.
Hello. And so we're here. It is open mic. The number is 347-945-5229. I came in here, and it is a ghost town. There's only me and another man who works here, one of the production guys, the director of production here. And I pulled in, and there was the snow was out. There was one truck and no tracks.
Oh, my goodness.
And I said, oh, I hope somebody's here, because if not, I can't get in the building because, you know, I don't need a code. The building's coded, and so to get in, you have to know the code. But when I come in at 12 noon, everybody's here, so I never have to know the code. So that's useless information to me.
Yeah.
Until today.
How'd you get in?
He knew I did not know the code. And so Dave just made sure that I got in, and I'm here, and I want you to call in. Hey, Diva, how are you? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Diva.
And Steve is a mean mom.
Really?
I want you to text me tomorrow and tell me how the fireworks go.
I'm going to post it all on Facebook. I'm doing a video. I have it all set up. I'm doing a video and everything, and I will be putting on Facebook.
That is so mean. Hey, I want to send my condolences out to the Robinson family, Dean and Dennis Robinson, and they got a bunch. There was Mike and Dave who's gone on, but their mom passed in the last couple of days.
Aww.
And so I want to say, you know, send out my love and tell them that I love them, and tell them that I'm sorry for their loss.
That's such a hard thing to happen around the holidays.
It is. That's a hard time, no matter what. But Christmas is really tough.
Yeah.
And even though she was one of our seniors, it doesn't make a difference. Mom's still mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what's up, Diva? You didn't get her anything?
Oh yeah, I got her stuff. She ain't getting it. I got her stuff. So, she's just not getting it.
Well, how long is it gonna be in storage?
Grading period ends January 10th. Report cards come out January 15th. So, depending on what her report card says, and if her report card it's not looking
Diva.
Great. It's going back.
Diva.
What?
Hey, I got a question for you. You're on Facebook. You know those little cartoons that everybody's making?
Bit strips.
What is it?
The bit strips.
Thank you so much, because everybody's making cartoons, and I don't know how. And I'm like, well, I don't want to. They don't tell anybody how to do this. It's called bit strips.
I didn't do it because I'm like, I know dealing with certain things, it causes a computer virus my computer starts acting up, so I didn't bother.
Because I got some friends, and they're making some great cartoons, and I want them to do cartoons, too. I found out some friends of mine, they're off from work, and they have nothing to do. They have nothing on their time. Jeff, I hope you brought lunch.
I did not bring lunch.
Oh, man.
Is that food?
Jeff.
Yeah,
what's
I tried
up?
To tell her the other day to bring in my cognac, and she wouldn't bring it, so I had to bring my own.
Jeff, that ain't cognac. That's apple cider.
Close enough.
Is that my
Thank
Christmas
you.
Gift?
Will you be quiet and talk on the radio, please?
Okay.
Okay, you don't like
tell him we can still hear him.
Talk in the background.
I know.
Will you be quiet and talk on the radio, please?
No, I don't want to talk on the radio. It's Christmas Eve.
No Tracy tolerance.
Jeff, you brought in bows.
Bows, what? Yeah,
give me a red one.
Okay.
What is going on here? Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. Jeff has just messed up.
Thank you, Jeff.
What are you doing? Oh, so now you're the president.
Yeah.
Oh, so now Annie is the president of the.
Annie, slide to the right.
Wait a minute, slide to the right.
Okay.
To the left. To the left.
Whoa.
Hey, there's no food in this place.
Are you kidding? We got potato chips. We got.
I don't want potato chips.
We got cognac. We got.
That
bones.
Ain't cognac. That's apple cider.
He said it was cognac, Tracy.
But you can you can stand in the garage, call yourself a Cadillac if you want to. That says apple cider. all day long.
Oh.
And if you drink too much, you know where you'll be. Diva, are you going to give her anything tomorrow?
A lump of coal.
A hard time.
A lump of coal and the hard time already started. But, yes, she's going to get a lump of coal. I'm going to wrap it up in a nice little package with a big bow on it. Right before we go to church, like, you know, Mommy thought about you, and I just want to let you know how much I love you, and I decided to get you a gift after all. There you go.
That would be so mean.
That's pretty mean.
That's mean, Diva. That's your baby.
No.
I hear a little bit of an echo.
That's so mean, Diva. You can't do that.
Oh, my gosh. No, mean is... you being sneaking and sneaky behind my back, not doing what you're supposed to. I've only had two rules, really. Two rules. That was don't lie and get good grades in school. The rest of it all could be worked out.
What? So she get a bad grade?
How bad was the grade, Diva?
Yeah.
She's failing all of her classes except for science. How you fail art when you love art? She's a great artist. And how you felt art? Because you're not doing your work. You're too busy socializing in the classroom, not getting your work done.
So she's like her mama.
No.
That's what's going on.
I didn't socialize like that in school. I got my work done. I was extremely shy. That's the one thing I like, that she's not shy, but it's driving me nuts because she's very smart. She took her quarterly assessment test. She aced every single one of them. She aced her state test. That's why she ended up in some advanced classes. And you get in the classes and you don't want to do work. And then she calls herself sneaking and having a little boyfriend. Mommy, don't play that.
She can't have a boyfriend?
13. She's 13 in eighth grade.
Well, she doesn't have a boyfriend. I mean, it's not a boyfriend. It's just
No, Tracy.
I mean,
I thought it was, no, I told her, I said, okay, I don't mind you liking boys. I don't mind you having a little crush or whatever. You keep it in school. You don't bring it outside of school.
What do you mean?
She's not allowed to text them. Well, I got her iPod.
They're not allowed to have any conversation?
Not outside of school, no. You keep it in school.
Nope. I mean,
and she brought it.
Come on, Diva. I mean,
no,
I
she brought
a,
it out.
I had a, Diva, listen, now wait a minute. Hold on. My first boyfriend, you know, I don't know what it meant, but we're still close friends to this day. And
no.
The love of my, I mean, it's better to have them to where you can monitor them and it's not her boyfriend, because she's not like going on dates, but to have a boyfriend who she's friends with and she knows how to carry herself with. That ain't bad.
No, Tracy, I'm telling you.
I got in so much trouble with Vernon. I ain't going to lie.
I'm telling
and
you.
I got many groundings and many whoopings, but that's still my heart.
No, she's a year younger than all her classmates because she started school early. She tested into school early. So
okay. That's
why I'm like, no, you keep it in school. I don't mind you liking boys, having crushes, or whatever, fine. But when you bring it outside of school, because I'm like, when you get in high school, that's when you'll be mature enough to handle having a boyfriend or having relationships outside of school.
Okay.
So I got her iPod. There was text message. There was messaging each other. I love you. I wish you were here. I miss you.
Oh.
Oh, I went to jail.
That's so sweet.
No, that's not.
Little kissy face emojis.
Yeah. Oh, Diva.
Then he's giving her love gifts, giving her a kiss.
What's
on the
love
cheek.
Gift?
Oh,
it's not like you got a job.
Here's a chocolate bar.
He gave her a regular.
It's different when you, Tracy. See, I never thought I'd be this upset, but when you have a kid and it's a girl, it's a whole different ballpark.
Man, I'm a little. You guys just so mean, Alabama. Isn't she being mean?
I got a bone to pick with Diva anyway, but I'm gonna let that slide right now.
Wait a minute.
Don't pick bones.
We're still on
Kitty Love.
Don't pick bones. It's Christmas.
It's Kitty Love.
I'm going to tell you like this. It's good to manage it at an early age, to talk to your child. And I can't, when I say early, I mean eighth, seventh, eighth grade. I'm not talking about third, fourth grade. But I think it's better to manage it and to train your child to think for themselves and be able to understand how guys are. Because girls nowadays, like, it's just not the same. It's just
crazy.
Not.
Listen, girls are crazy. We are psycho out of our minds. And the
like,
older we get,
there's a show called The New Atlanta. That girl on there, her name Africa. I dated a girl in high school. She was like, she's still 37, almost, she's about to be 40, acting like she's a teenager. Like, it's just certain things I see, I'm just like, ain't nobody training these girls how to be, it's not about that. So I think it's good to kind of, if you withhold something, as a teenager, they're going to get away to college, and they're going to wind up being the complete opposite of what you think, unless you explain. And there's where a man comes in to explain the why behind guys.
Wait a
why
minute.
Guys think when you're 14, your hormones are speaking. It's like it's like Invasion of the Body Snatchers. You can't even think for yourself when you're 14. That's all I thought about. I'm just going to tell the truth. That's all I wanted. And a lot of girls were doing it back then. So,
gosh, see, when I was 14, I couldn't fathom. I couldn't think about doing that.
Listen,
when you was 14,
so
they
wasn't
evil.
No,
when I was
14,
I couldn't fathom thinking about having sex with a boy. I just couldn't.
I didn't think about having sex, but I was in love. Oh, man, I was so
I wasn't in
love.
I remember my first so-called, this boy told me he loved me,
I don't know.
And I looked like he was crazy.
No, they showed up this morning when I got here.
Look, I was saying I love women all the time, and I was just a normal routine. About 2 weeks in, you love a girl. That's how it's supposed to have work.
But no, wait a minute. I got a question. I can go back to it was 1977. And I was a puppy.
1977.
And I was so in love with this guy. And it just didn't end. I mean, and even though it just didn't last, the relationship, the friendship, the trueness of it, it's forever.
I never fell in love in high school.
They
never.
Say, the
don't feel bad. I didn't either.
I would never tell a person I loved them either. My thing was, I dated a guy, not even really dated. Okay, I called you my boyfriend. It lasted 2 weeks, and then I ended that and moved on. There's no kissing. There's no cupping feelings.
There was no kissing or nothing. I mean, heck, you didn't know what a kiss was
right.
For the most part.
My
well, y'all did.
And
you
know,
y'all was Jefferson and looking crazy. Y'all
kiss?
Crazy.
And that was it.
He wasn't. At
13,
I wasn't
right
kissing.
One.
At 13. Started late, girl.
Maybe 13. 12. 13. No. But you waited. It wasn't like you just walked up to him and kissed him.
We was playing spin the bottle at.
That's because y'all was fast.
At 11 and 12.
That's because y'all was fast.
Like,
hey, don't be messing. Listen, I want hold on. The number's 347-945-5229. I got to tell you all about Christmas in the studio. My friend Jeff, you know, it's called Tracy and Friends. And you know, I gave out little tiny books. Jeff comes in here with a pack of apple cider, unwrapped, with the bows on the side. Put a bow on it that won't stick. No glue, no staples, no tape, no nothing. Passing out bottles.
Right, bottles.
Of apple cider.
That's because.
What's wrong with that?
Apple cider.
I like apple cider.
Thank you, sweetie. Somebody.
What's wrong with that?
Appreciation.
Listen to what I'm saying. They're not wrapped yet.
Don't have to be wrapped. You don't wrap these things.
Make you hear the noise in the background? That's Jeff.
That's what Christmas is all about, making noise and having fun.
Jeff. You were supposed to put the bows on it before you come in the room.
And wondering who the heck left a cigarette in
here. I don't know. And wait a minute.
Marlboro, too, ain't it?
It's a non-menthol cigarette, so you know it wasn't nobody black.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, it's Christmas. Merry Christmas. I'm having a problem. I got a new camera, and it won't work.
Your new one won't work, no.
And, you know, I found them at Marks for $6.99.
Oh, no, nothing happened.
I see myself on your computer screen, that, and I'm really hoping that it's not public. Because
why not?
I look smacked today.
You don't look smacked today.
I didn't put on makeup. I didn't even brush my hair.
But did you brush your teeth? That's all that matters.
That's what matters.
Yeah, but then I ate a bunch of waffles.
Where are waffles? Yeah, Alabama. What's Tracy, going on, Doc?
I got something I want you to do for me for Christmas.
What you want?
I want you to go on my page and play that YouTube video that me and Diva start going back and forth on.
Hold on. Go to your page.
I'm mad that I finally got to see what Alabama looked like. And
he
I'm
looks
mad.
Nothing like you thought it, does he?
Oh, my gosh, Tracy.
Alabama.
I was like, why he put fake pictures? He knows you don't look like that.
Yeah, he
and
does.
And then I was going through the pictures. Yeah, I was going through your pictures.
No, he's got some other
and reading the comments, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm feeling some type of way.
I'm feeling some
kind of way. Wait a minute, whoa. Do we have to have a conversation with you? What kind of way are you feeling?
I just was, like, shocked. I mean, not shocked, but I was just like, wow, he's a very handsome brother.
But what did you think he looked like, a frog?
Oh, my God.
I'm a black conservative, so I can't be. I'm a black conservative, so.
I thought he looked like he weighed, like, 250 pounds, missing teeth.
20. Ooh. Ooh.
I know.
Still a good-looking guy. Bill, she called you a Southern hillbilly.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's what I thought. I'm sorry, Alabama, but that's what I thought.
I mean, ain't no upset.
And he looked like a GQ model.
Woo! Don't you hear him always talking about he's going to the gym?
Yeah, but people tend to say stuff.
Yeah,
and that don't mean that he was actually in fit. That means he probably was trying to work stuff off, you know. I don't know.
Hey, Alabama, you were good-looking as a young kid, too, a young man.
You look so young.
Tell him you're still a young man, man.
They got my picture with that swoop, that high top fade with the Big Daddy Kane part in the front.
You know, I've been on your
I'm dating myself when I say Big Daddy Kane, but, hey, that was my boy back in the day.
Wow. So I got to go back here. I'm going to go to your page, and then I'm going to look at what?
It's a video by a guy named Black Authority. It's not any cussing. It's just
okay, that's good.
A guy
you
making a point about some people. And hold on, before Diva takes off, I'm going to make this point. I don't think he should insult people, but I swear if that man ain't speaking gospel, I ain't sitting here. If he ain't speaking gospel truth, I ain't sitting here.
Alabama, I'm out on your page.
On there, it's on there.
I see Malcolm X.
You're going to have to
see Black Card. I see FSU. Positive.
No, it's a Black Authority because I tagged. Wait a minute, man.
Okay,
I see it.
It's
on there. Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, I'm going to take a break, and when I come back, I'm going to play Black Authority. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
Your car will look brand new.
What do you mean before I take off?
I know you. Wait a minute. He just shouldn't have said it. It's the way he said it. I was like, look, man, it's like this. If I got some vipers coming in the back, a bunch of vipers, right, and I got some fire ants coming in the front door, I got a little ant bed at the front door, which is more pressing, the fire ants or the vipers that got a nest at my back door? Taipan vipers. Like, I think the point he was talking about was the vipers at the back door.
No.
The way he said
Let me make a point.
He insulted those people without really knowing the facts about them. I'll agree to that. Okay, he did. But as far as the substance of the message and what he was saying about the civil rights generation, the things he was saying, I was like, oh, man, I'm just glad to hear that coming from somebody. Because I don't think nobody really, a lot of people don't say that stuff. So I just thought that was real telling what he said. That was the point I was making at the top of the message when I wrote, I think this is telling because nobody really talks about this type of stuff. So he's the first guy I ever heard say something like that.
The problem is that when you deliver a message in that context, no one tends to hear you. Secondly,
I ain't gonna say no one. That dude got a lot of followers. Go ahead.
Come on. I don't care if he's got a lot of followers, but the people that he's speaking to or needs to be speaking to is not going to hear him. Secondly, if he was white, how would you feel about it?
Well, let me ask you this. Don't you think the best criticism, bitterness, like when somebody comes, some of the best criticism, I don't know how to say this, I heard it said before, some of the best criticism stings. When somebody really telling you the truth, it stings.
One thing
you need to hear that. Let me tell you what I did one time. I got a Discover card with $1,000 limit. I took my butt to this Total Music store and tried to buy 8 CDs. Back then, that wasn't number like $100. This dude looked at me and rolled his eyes at me and said, "We don't take Discover." And I walked out feeling stupid, and I said, "You know what? I'm so glad I didn't, because I felt dumb trying to run my credit up buying CDs." But I was like 18 years old.
You were young. Young
and
people
stupid.
Make mistakes. That's what young people are supposed to do. They're supposed to make the dumbest
mistakes.
Hold on.
Who in the world? Hold on. I would never. If I got, because if she got kids, she'd probably get $8,000 in tax return. Why would you go get a $2,500 purse?
No, she doesn't have any kids. The girl, if you're talking about the girl.
She got kids.
The girl?
Plus, she was pregnant. Plus, she had kids. She already had one. And she, February 1st, she bought a $2,500 purse.
Okay, I'm going to
wonder where she gets the money from.
I'll tell that story over again because.
No, listen to it. He said in the beginning. Listen to it when
they
play it.
Here's the thing. I get what you're saying. When I heard that she bought a $2,500 bag that was plain, I'm like, what was the purpose? You're buying something. You spend all this money to prove something to somebody or to try to gain a status, but it's not real. It's all in your mind, boo-boo. It's a fantasy. I get that.
Look at it this way.
Alabama, you cannot let somebody just talk for like 2 seconds and then you decide to make your point and then keep talking. You can't do that. The fact of the matter is, how I look at it is, my mother raised us, if we are infighting, I had two sisters, we're all 1 year behind each other. If we're fighting, we keep it amongst ourselves. We don't take it out into the world. We don't let everybody know what we're fighting about. Why? Because you might have enemies to try to use that fight against you. What he is doing is essentially making some people, some racists and some bigots, feel like, okay, it's okay for me to talk about blacks like that way because they're and think about them that way because that's how they think and talk to each other. That's why they use the N-word. They try to justify why they feel they can use the N-word now because we were using it mostly.
They used that word back when we was building pyramids. They was still, when they got over there, they knew then. And I think the Vatican and all of them still know our true history. So when you start talking about black people and why they call us the N-word, it ain't got nothing to do with some brother coming up saying, "Hey, we need to own our own communities," and you acting like apes and monkeys.
You're not getting it. It's not about. It has nothing to do with that. It's the fact that we sit here and call each other, "Oh, my nigga, this. What's up, my nigga? Or that nigga gonna get it?" So they feel like, "Well, you guys are calling each other that, and you guys are seeming like it's an endearing term. Why can't I use it? Because well, guess what?
You're making a completely separate point.
Know what I'm saying is how this dude was talking about his own people and downing them and degrading them. It makes a racist and a bigot feel like
in America. Everyone is talking about the racial profiling of black shoppers at the outrageously overpriced retail store Barney's New York. It's the kind of grotesque establishment where fools part with their money and merrily spend $1,000 for a watch and $2,000 for a handbag. This year, there have been several instances where black shoppers, totally oblivious to the fact that we are the poorest people in America and the world, waltz into Barney's with their ridiculous, dull-witted stares and happily deposit their life savings with non-black merchants for an item only worth a fractional percentage of what they're selling it for. My only complaint about these arrests of black customers at Barney's is that they didn't get every other black person who dared to venture into their establishment and fill the pockets of people who revile them. So let's take a look at these pathetic patrons of prejudicial trinket peddlers. The first report came about a 19-year-old named Trayon Christian, and like most people whose Neanderthal parents lacked the basic intelligence to give their child an actual name with a meaning, Trayon is a brainless consumer. He doesn't have much money, but what little he does have, he uses in a futile attempt to boost his low self-esteem and try to buy his self-worth by engaging in material therapy. Now, this buffoon is a college student with a part-time job. Considering the black male unemployment rate for black teens usually hovers around 60%, you would think he would feel extra lucky and do like his white and Asian counterparts and use his savings to start his own enterprise. But that's not the way it works in Bastard Babyville. Trayon saved up his money from his part-time job, and
Alabama,
after buying
you're in trouble
two
for
tight jeans to sag in, he apparently decided a $350 belt would be the perfect accessory to go along with his homo thug outfit. So off he went to Barney's to buy a Salvatore Ferragamo designer belt. After the purchase, he was approached by plainclothes cops who accused him of fraud. Chase Bank confirmed the card Trayon used to pay for the belt with was indeed his, and the police had to let him go. Trayon says he immediately went back to the store to return the belt, saying he will never shop at Barney's again. The real question, however, is why was this numbskull shopping there in the first place? The belt he was buying was totally out of proportion to his income. Obviously, he stays with his parents, and with this amount of gross financial irresponsibility, he'll be living with them for the rest of his life. But they probably deserve it, because they were the ones who taught and raised this lout to think that these reckless buying habits are acceptable, and at a time in his life when he's supposed to be developing character traits to be a man, an independent man, he is instead acting like a teenager on a shopping spree. Booker T. Washington said, "Black people work for what they want and beg for what they need." And there's no more a perfect illustration of this than Trayon Christian. But this shopping Sambo wouldn't be the last lesson in socioeconomics to emerge from Barney's in New York. Meet Kayla Phillips. Like Trayon, she's also a college student going to school for nursing. She's also a single mother to boot who's several months pregnant when she went into Barney's. Now, in these tough economic times, money is tight for everyone, and in the case of someone like Kayla, she's got to pinch every penny she can, right? Well, apparently not, because Kayla, when she's not spending her money purchasing cartoonish hair weaves that would make Rachel Jeantel proud, she apparently has a taste for expensive handbags, and this time she had her eye on a $2,500 suede purse by Celine. Now, if you all want to know why black children have the lowest rate of literacy and the highest rate of poverty, just take a look at this bloated mammy with a hair hat. Her kids won't have any type of financial foundation to build off of because this ignorant ghetto troglodyte squandered it all on things she thought were more important than her children's futures. You can't blame this on the baby daddy. Now, if you're wondering how Kayla came into so much money, it wasn't from sound financial planning. Like most single mothers sponging off the system, she wouldn't have a dime to her name if it wasn't for the income tax return racket. Based on the amount she received, she likely got the earned income tax credit or child tax credit or both. So even though she paid nothing in taxes, Barack Obama and the rest of the con men in government have taken money from the working black population so it can be handed over to Kayla and the rest of the hood bats. And just like her and her kind waste the child support money they receive and it never goes to help the children, these selfish beasts also spit on the money forcibly taken from actual working people so they can buy toys.
Good. Tell me what happened.
I came to Barney's in February, about February, mid-February, to purchase a Kennedy bag for $2,500. I used my debit card. It went through. I showed my ID. Then I was walking to the train station, 59th and Lexington, where I was attacked by four undercovers.
Now, you can just look at her face and see the kind of person you're dealing with. She spends her whole short adult life being a drain on society, and she's just getting warm. Kayla went to Barney's and bought the Celine purse. After she left, she was stopped down the block right before she could get on the subway. Like Trayon, she was accused of card fraud without any evidence. And like Trayon, she had to be let go. Both Trayon and Kayla are suing Barney's and the New York Police Department. Now, I personally hope they get millions and that the New York Police Department fires the cops and Barney's goes out of business, but I understand this is being unrealistic. So I guess what I will instead hope for is that Trayon and Kayla get nothing. That's right. I hope they don't get anything except the notoriety of being two buck-dancing slaves who toil all the day long so they could go to a store and pay the rent of the people who cheerfully put them in jail. And I hope that their humiliating experience serves as a cautionary tale to every other black person in New York and around the country that being the most foolish consumers on earth is nothing to be proud of or defended. I took a trip to Harlem, and I can tell you it's a disgusting mess. In the middle of the financial mecca of the world, Manhattan Island, Harlem sticks out like a dead mouse on a pizza. The place that nurtured the Harlem Renaissance and made Malcolm X a household name is thought of among black people around America as an enclave of black economic community. But in reality, that ideal of Harlem is just nostalgia. The reality of today is that black people are just squatters in Harlem. I traveled those streets, and all the stores are owned by Arabs and Indians, and, of course, whites. Black people own practically nothing of significance in Harlem anymore. And the reason for this is because the Asians and the Indians and whites use their money to invest in Harlem. Meanwhile, the blacks take their money and swiftly deposit the entire truckload of it with non-black people who can't stand your guts and don't even want your money. And it's not like it was a secret before you walked into their store. Black people go into businesses like Barney's, Macy's, and Saks Fifth Avenue with the attitude that, I don't care if they don't want me in their store. I'm going to shop here anyway. And there are no other people on the planet who have this ignorant ideology that you will demand to empower people who hate you. There are black businesses in New York City, but people like Trayon and Kayla Phillips don't care about those. You have to remember, slaves always believe that white ice is colder. So if Barney's moved to a cardboard box under a bridge, people like Kayla Phillips would make sure they didn't stay under that bridge very long because she would make sure that every dime of her money went to get them out from under there. This is what happened to black economic empowerment in America. This is the reason less than 1% of black people own a business. This is the reason that as soon as a black man gets some money, he avoids every black woman he sees. This is the reason that your smart black college students only associate with non-black students. This is the reason I have no respect for the civil rights generation who taught and reared the following generations that trying to integrate non-black institutions was more important than life itself. And, as if right on cue, the civil rights generation showed up to let us all see that they're still holding on to the ludicrous notion that someday they can force the children of their oppressors to accept us. Reverend Al Sharpton called a press conference to say that he had summoned a meeting with none other than the CEO of Barney's New York, Mark Lee. Mark Lee says that Barney's internal investigation has determined that their store employees didn't call the police at all, and he's blaming the entire fiasco on the NYPD. The NYPD is pointing the finger back at Barney's, saying that police don't come out unless someone calls them first. Stop and frisk would seem to refute that notion, but in any case, the real issue is what exactly is it that Reverend Al hopes to accomplish? Is his goal to make New York safe for black customers to splurge every dime they make with non-black merchants? Is he trying to defend the right of single mammies to keep buying their hair weaves from Asians and their handbags from Anglos while black businesses can't stay open because their customers are patronizing everyone except them? Instead of trying to demand a change in behavior from white stores, why didn't Reverend Sharpton demand a change in behavior from black consumers? Why didn't he call a press conference and say that this should mark the beginning of a black renaissance of black group economics? Why didn't he call to the podium black-owned stores in the New York area and tell people that we should boycott Barney's, like he says, boycott everything else, and return to spending our money with our own people who will give us the respect and dignity we deserve? Instead of trying to integrate with Barney's, why didn't he demand we integrate with ourselves? So if you're going to hold a press conference about black consumers, why go to Barney's? Why didn't he go to J.P. Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, or the Small Business Administration, or any host of other financial institutions, and tell them that in light of our horrendous treatment at the hand of white stores like Macy's and Barney's, we want these lending institutions to begin making investments into black people who want to start their own high-end stores? Why can't we do that instead? There are two reasons we can't do that. Number one, most older blacks don't consider it valuable unless a white person owns it. And number two, most black consumers don't consider it valuable unless white people own it. Therefore, Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, and anyone else who would consider such an investment is fully aware that black people don't value black businesses. So they would worry there won't be a customer base to gain a return on their investment. I can't tell you if they would be right about that, but what I can tell you is that there is enough doubt that no one feels they can make a case that they should, not even the President of the United States. The situation at Barney's and other retailers in New York of arresting the very black people who want to be their customers illustrates that integration is a farce. Wasting money trying to buy white acceptance has been adopted by the current generation, just like it was by their parents and grandparents, and that the only solution is black group economics. But the people who need it most would rather try to force non-black people to take our money, and they will punch you in the face if you try to stop them.
Oh. Well, you're listening to Tracy and Friends on Christmas. It's 12:50, 50 minutes after the lunch hour.
And say amen.
I know. What? Alabama, I thought you liked me. Alabama.
Power.
Where are you, dude? Alabama, this is what you said.
What's
to me.
Up?
He said, you know, listen. You said, you want to give me a great... great Christmas gift. Just played a little clip on my Facebook page, and it doesn't cuss or anything. Well, heck, it might as well cuss. Do you understand that the phone lines, my cell phone, are blowing up right now? I got text messages, phone calls. Alabama, are you there? Because if not, I'm coming to Alabama, and I'm going to help you.
Hey, Look here. I'm going to say this right here. I said I gave you a disclaimer. I said I don't agree with the verbiage of everything, but I agree with every premise he made. I just don't agree with the verbiage.
Alabama, I'm glad we share a last name, brother.
Alabama.
Because we are not afraid.
Hold on, Mike. I got to whip Alabama a little bit more.
Go ahead.
Before I let everybody in.
Just
hold up.
Alabama's my friend. Don't whip him too bad.
No. Alabama used to be my friend. But you,
what's
I mean,
up? Harsh.
You know, have you ever heard me play Pastor Manning on here?
No, I don't know who that is.
Oh man,
go to YouTube and just type in Pastor Manning.
Manning.
You'll figure it out. But let me say this. The reason why I don't play Pastor Manning on here is because, you know, he's a little rough. This little dude, he's a little rough too. Alabama, you're going to get me shot.
Let me ask you this, Tracy. Let me ask you a question.
You know, I live here, right?
Good truth hurts. When somebody give you a good dose of truth, it's like a shot of Patron. Well, Patron a little smooth. But something is just like a shot of cheap Thunderbird. But that ain't good for you.
Yes.
But it's a shot of that good stuff.
Okay.
Straight
hold
BS.
On.
Straight
hold on.
BS.
That's some of that good stuff.
Diva, wait a minute, because I got to talk about the verbiage before we get into the substance, because I have to say.
That killed worms and everything. That killed worms. Go ahead.
Listen,
I wish you had posted that on my site.
I'm going to send it to you. Listen here, I want to tell
you. His name is Black Authority. He got one called Black Education, the Black Education, Black something. He got it's called Black Authority. He got a YouTube
Listen,
channel.
I even got sticks on my saying yikes. You know. Listen, y'all. I want you to know something. You know, Annie's sitting in here freaking out, going, I can't believe they're saying this. She's saying it's tough. What'd you say?
It's appalling.
She's appalled by what they're saying, and I'm sitting here going, "Are you kidding me? I'm going to get killed. I live here. Christmas dinner just turned into a riot."
Okay, hold the troglodyte. Get past that, okay?
What was the video?
I
am 100% thrilled that I was born white because black people apparently can't even buy a purse without stirring up a bunch of controversy.
Well, she got a point there.
You have to know what happened, really, because what he said was absolutely the truth.
It was true.
Absolutely.
Hold on.
I wouldn't say it that way.
No.
But I will say this, and I can honestly say there are times that we tend to buy. I mean, seriously, a $2,500 purse.
Yeah, but you guys are looking at this young lady just as that store clerk looked at her and made
that judgment. No.
That's exactly what he did.
Diva, can't
afford this.
You're missing my
Why
point.
Why are you buying this? Why are you
Diva,
here? And he made that
Diva,
judgment call on how she looked.
You are missing my point.
My
point is I have friends who are African-American who can afford a $2,500 purse, and they buy it, and they don't blink. And I think they should be treated with respect that they deserve when they go to any place to buy it. But when he talks about the young man who went into to Barney's and bought a $350 a belt.
With money that he earned,
but he did not have. There's a difference.
He didn't have no bills.
Who says he didn't have the money?
He didn't take that
money and start a business with it. He just spent
frivolously. And I got calls, and I want to pull up some new calls because I got new calls on here. People can buy what they choose, but we need to look at the prioritizing of how we think. I have friends who do not have $1,200 in their purse, but yet they've got a $1,200 bag. That doesn't make sense. If you don't have the money, I mean, I just went to TJ Maxx and put a wallet down that was $74 because I'm not going to pay $74 for a wallet just because I can say that I got a designer wallet if I cannot have a couple $100,000 in it every time I open it up.
I get that point.
I completely understand that. But one, this guy, in the words that he is saying, he made a judgment call. Yes, they made stupid spending habits, but the way he was talking was he judged these two people just as those store people, cops judge them too.
But David, but remember, you are right. But the young man was a college. He was a college student, and he saved up for it because he wanted to have it. There's nothing wrong with saving.
Young people make dumb mistakes. They do stupid stuff.
Listen, I do not agree. I do not agree with how the man actually
said what he said.
But I have to say, when you look at what we do and why we protest and how we protest, like he said, if you're going to go after Barney's, then make Barney's put a shop inside of the inner city where African-Americans actually can buy from African-American people and actually afford what's in it and actually have economic development behind it. Hold on, 314, your mic is on.
Bianchi.
I don't know.
Hello?
Look, that guy making his point.
Am I here?
Hold on.
I thought I muted myself. Okay, I'm muting myself. I'm sorry. I'm listening to the show. How you doing, Miss Tracy? It's been a long time. It's 314.
I know. How are you, darling?
I'm doing okay. Enjoying your show as always. That was a nice clip, brother. Alabama, what's up? Remember me, St. Louis.
What's up, man?
Said it again. What's up? You done it again, brother. You done it again.
Oh, he's done this to other people, huh?
You done it again. That the clip was real nice, but sis, I don't think the point was about, you know, people making, you know, their hard earned money to buy what they want. The clip was about, like Miss Tracy said, it was about the priorities. You know, we should have our own perched with, you know, monkey skull bottom, however they, you know, put with it, you know, however they want to make it valuable. But we should have our own to spend our hard-earned money if that's what you want to do. I'm pretty much not that type of guy, but, I mean, for those who want, you know, it should be, we should have our own. But that clip was pretty nice. It was all right.
I mean, and then don't get me wrong, I disagree with how he said it, but I have to say, the pill in which he actually stated, it was a big pill to swallow, but there was a lot of truth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There was a lot of truth. You know,
but, you know, that's the only way we can get our own attention is if we come at each other raw and uncut. Otherwise, we cookie coat and flower fluff, and then now you sound like a pansy, you know. Quiet down. Shit.
That's the problem.
314, let me ask you this. Don't you think that what they're saying against his guy is almost like they're complaining about an inbred being in the front yard or in the backyard you got a brood of top-end vipers that'll kill you in 2 minutes? Which is more important? Which one would you rather worry about? The way he said it or the fact that they're going in there taking $2,500 buying a purse from a racist establishment? Which is more? You get the point?
Right. I understand. The way he said it, like I said, is we can't. We have to come to each other. Now, this wasn't a message for Caucasian American or Caucasian folk or any other nation. This was a message to his own nation, and we know how we have to hit. We have to speak with each other. Now, the way he said it, he made sure he hit those who not only have the money to spend, but he also hit those who don't have the money to spend, to make the point to his people. He heard everybody on every side, because, you know, if you ask me, I guess I'm on the side to where the sisters would with the hair hat spend her hard-earned money and, you know, child support money on a suede bag that ain't going to do nothing to help the community. Now, I could see if Sister Tracy made her own, you know, hand suede bags with, you know, Peruvian skull bottom and you know, however you all do it, and she goes spend her money on that, because it goes back into the community and more, you know, powerful shows such as this. But the point is, we should have better options for ourselves to.
But 314, let me ask you this. Let me put this point in to help you. Let me ask you this. If a person, if you really look at it, it's easier to get an education to go work in a corporation for somebody than it is to learn how to create 25 shoes that you can for $5 that you can sell for $150. You can't learn it. That's hard to learn how to do. Create purses that you sell it for $2,500 is harder to do that, because you can't find that knowledge that easy. But you can find how to go, you know, keep books for a corporation. Because you can get a job and work. That's not going to really change things. Am I right?
I'm so disappointed that you would use a segregationist to make a point about civil rights. Because that was the tag. It seemed like, I may have read it wrong, but that was the tag of the video. Or
see,
you might have said
point.
It like
no,
that.
No, see,
because, well, first of all, he's a segregationist. Secondly,
Eva,
when you talk about, hold on, when
he did not
finish.
Say that every person came right by from any white guy or any. He
let
didn't
me
just say it.
Finish my
let
point,
let,
then you can counter.
Let us speak.
Secondly, he made a point of black people saying, I don't care if they don't want me here, I'm going to be there anyway, or I'm going to buy here anyway. Imagine if during the civil rights movement, they decided not to do the lunch counter sit-ins. Those people, those racists and bigots, they didn't want them at their lunch counters. They didn't want them in their restaurants. They didn't want them in their rail cars. They didn't want them in their hotel rooms. But guess what? It took someone to stand up and say, you know what, I don't care if you don't want me here. I'm going to be here. So imagine if those people had that same thought and thought as this guy did and did nothing. Where would we be now?
Okay. Hold on. Okay. Well, I'm glad you asked that question. What we've been sold is a whitewash. We go watch these movies, and we see all these people going in there, and it's all sad, and they sit in there. And true enough, it was messed up. But at the same time, what you don't see in a lot of these films and what you're sold in elementary school and all about history and stuff is how prosperous the black dollar was within our community, how black business flourished during this time. Because we weren't denied you being a liberal, we've been denied the resources. Just like everybody, so our businesses didn't have everything that white businesses had, so we weren't playing the same playing field. But if you take away all that and you just give everybody the same resource, it won't be like that. Black, it'll survive. That's why it's not like that. So don't just look at it like,
to both of you all's point, also what was going on, the reason why the civil rights movement even happened was because, man, they were tearing up our businesses, man. Every time we had our business, we would thrive. 40 years after they freed slavery, black market went skyrocketed. Well, then that's when they started coming in and tearing up. And they, what's the Gap Band song? You dropped a bomb on me. They had to bomb the area.
Hey. And they still do that now. And if we get a black-owned business, they come with a black-owned, they come to a black-owned owner, give them enough money, and then they sell out.
Wait a minute. Hold on. This is explaining the reason. Now, they didn't film that, but they did film the fact that, well, dog, man, y'all keep turning our stuff up, so we got to go somewhere. And that's what they used as the mask.
Tracy's on South Carolina.
Still fight. Dr. King was not only fighting for us to equal, like, I can sit in your diner, but he was fighting for the fact that y'all kept blowing up our stuff.
Here's the thing, guys. The color of your skin does not guarantee the success or failure of a business. It all depends on what you got between your two eyeballs. It depends on that gray matter that you've got. And if you don't have a business sense, you don't have the business savvy, or if you're not an entrepreneur, your business will not be successful.
Exactly.
I believe you can make it, South Carolina, but at the same time, don't act as though people haven't had. Go back and look at the history. People have been denied and dogged out. If you leave people alone, then that would make sense. But it's not just people left alone.
If you take
I've seen what you're talking about firsthand, Alabama, because my great-great-grandparents were freed slaves. And they were freed. They received a plot of land, acres of land, okay? On that acres of land, they established their own town. They had a general merchandise store. And it continued to build on it and build on it. It had this little old community called Browntown. So I get what you're saying. I've seen it. I know what you're talking about. But I also feel like if the black owner, the black business doesn't have what I'm looking for, I should freely be allowed to spend my dollars with the white man, the Asian man, the Hispanic guy, whoever.
Doesn't sell to black people on purpose because they're playing checkers. You're playing checkers. You just want a product. You don't care who give it to you. They
you think
care
I'm
going to
go around with my hair not getting how I want it to be because some Asian dude has some personal feeling bias towards my skin color? No, I don't think so.
You're supporting something.
If I don't take issue with anything on any reference to black folks, and he would be talking about 40% of America right now of every color. You don't think that these guys that go in and buy these $2,000 chrome wheels for their cars and a jack-up kit, these rednecks and stuff, you don't think the people who own those auto parts stores don't laugh at them behind their back? All these stupid people we have in our society that don't know the difference between wants and needs and don't know how to do anything to help the next generation get a leg up. It isn't a black issue. It's across our society. You don't think the black auto parts store owners make fun of the Spanish guys who come in and buy all that jack-up
stuff?
Because
how a person spends their money does not mean that it's okay that they were discriminated against. And that's what this guy is co-signing. He is telling us that it's okay that they were discriminated against because they made stupid decisions in their buying power in what they purchased.
Well, and that was just his opinion. The funny was his opinion. You know what I'm saying? He separated the truth from his opinion by being funny on his opinion. Because, you know, we all understand.
He engaged
that
in hyperbole. A lot of good speakers do that.
Hey, we're back. And this is Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number 347-945-5229. It's 8 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. And Alabama has, hey, y'all hear music.
That's good.
Hold up, dude. I am back, for real. And I have a, they hear music. I know they hear the music. See, they just sitting talking like folks can hear them. I've got you, Who was that? It ain't Alice. He's not in here. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. It's 8 minutes after hour of 1 o'clock. And Alabama has roped me into playing something by Black Authority. And I had played it, and it was pretty hard, but a lot of truths and a lot of different topics, a lot of different dynamics that went inside of it. And there's racial profiling that went inside of it. There is the lack of civil rights and the leaders who show up without a cause and without a vision and without a plan for people to advance. It has a lot of information and actually insight into the lack of vision that has happened over the last 50 years in the black community. So it spoke to a lot of things. So I'm going to go down the line. I don't know what you guys talked about during the break, but I know I opened some lines. Mike, not so blind, Mike, your mic is on. What's going on?
Hey, I was just going to say, and it was a pretty heated debate while you guys were gone doing the news.
I'm quite sure.
Bills. But basically, everything he said, if you took out the reference to black folks, okay, he'd be talking about 40% of America right now. You don't think when Puerto Rican guys go into an auto parts store and spend thousands of dollars to jack up those white owners don't make fun of them when they leave? You don't think when these guys do all these kind of stupid purchases, these rednecks buying all these Elvis Presley velvet paintings, those people aren't laughing all the way to the bank about them being a dumbass redneck? You know, it happens to everybody. Everything he said, if you took out the black references and the stuff that was a little hyperbole and a little inflammatory, we have a huge segment in our population that just makes dumb, triple dumb spending choices because they got to have something that makes them feel good because their self-esteem is so low for whatever reason, or they're trying to feel important, or they're trying to impress somebody to be accepted or something, that they make dumb choices. And they never will spend their money on anything that makes permanent change in their life, always instant gratification stuff. And it's just all part of it. So I didn't see where, you know, and of course I'm going to insert myself in the middle of an argument here, but I'm sorry about that. But he was talking about not just black folks. He's talking about, I'd say, 40% of America right now.
South Carolina, your mic is on.
Tracy, you know, once you find out the true cost of something, and you see people going out and buying it at thousands of percent higher than what it actually cost to make them, and even what the manufacturer sells them to the retailer, it's a shocking thing. When I was over in Korea back in 1985, the hot thing on the street was members only jackets. Okay, we could get those members only jackets in Korea for $1.50. I mean, we could buy them all day. I had guys that were going over and buying cases of members-only jackets from the manufacturer and sending them back. He made a mint. They were selling for $60 back in the States. And then finally, the general made it illegal that you couldn't have more than five at a time, or couldn't purchase more than five at a time. But, I mean, people have got to realize, you're the end user, but the real cost of manufacturing and what you buy for that product, hey, if a man can make that kind of profit off of something, so be it. You don't think it costs them you know, say for instance, $200 and a 40% markup. I don't know. Michael Jordan didn't buy them shoes like that. The only reason they cost so much is because of his name.
Let me ask you, I want to get through the calls, and I want Annie and Jeff to jump in because they're here in studio, and I know they're itching to say something. I know Annie was real. I'm watching her face. You're looking at a 19-year-old, 19, Annie, or 18?
19.
You're looking at a 19-year-old single white female sitting in my studio. Her facial expression was priceless.
Oh.
Watching her listen to what we were listening to. What are your thoughts, Annie, and what do you think about this? Because you're from a whole other demographic.
Well, I think it was appalling.
Turn your mic up.
How?
There. Turn it to you. You have to talk into it.
Okay. It's appalling. He wasn't talking about consumerism. He wasn't talking about how buying money and status is wrong. He was just being blatantly racist and disgusting. And
racist?
Now, why do you say he was being racist?
Because he was just talking about how all black people are on welfare. They don't earn their money.
That's not what he said. But we need to hear what you heard.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what he said.
I think he was using stereotypes that are just silly to... I don't think the end justifies the means. How about that?
Okay. Jeff?
That's good. I thought he was absolutely apt in what he said, and I know he said it with anger and... because he's frustrated like I am at how our community especially gets taken advantage of by somebody lying to them and telling them that, you know, they should fight for certain things that they should not fight for. When you've destroyed black business in America, when we used to have hundreds of doctors and hundreds of lawyers right in our own area, if you take the three cities, that we don't have anymore. And you had tons of black businesses, which you have very few of, which he showed you a statistic. Only 1% of all black business, you know, black business is in the black community. No black-owned
less
business.
Less than 1. Less than 1%.
Yeah, less than 1. And you had these things before. And I gave a statistic that you used to have in 1964, just before the Civil Rights Movement law was made, that you had a black woman of childbearing age was more likely to be married with, you know, with living with her husband than her white counterpart. Now, how did that happen? Where now it is totally flipped, turned upside down. And I say it once again like he tried to say. We were given the right to go and buy from white businesses, and we fought and clawed our way to do it and destroyed our own businesses in our own black communities. He was absolutely right.
Sticks, your mic is on.
I don't think the end justifies the means.
Sticks, your mic's on.
Are you talking to me? It's Mrs. Sticks.
Hey, Mrs. Sticks, how are you? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. I wanted to call in because I think Alabama needs a lump of coal because he scared me. I thought somebody took your show off.
Yeah, he scared me too.
No, I love your show. I just had to call in and say that because I love to hear him when he gets in. He's very passionate, and I love it.
Well, thank you so much,
Mr.
Thank
show.
You, thank you.
Got to make a movie about him and Diva, War of the Coal.
Yeah.
War of the Coal.
Yeah, they were tough.
Yeah,
I know they were
well,
during the break.
I have some ends on that coal if you need some.
Okay. You can make that happen. Merry Christmas, Mrs. Sticks.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
Is my mic open?
Yeah, your mic's open.
Because you done went down the list. I just waiting on my turn. Is it my turn to speak?
No, my turn.
Patience
you're
is a
perfect
hard
cut on this, man.
My turn.
Did you see? Hold on, Ma. Did you actually hear my mom? I said we were going to have a merry, merry Christmas. We were talking about Christmas stuff today. And I remember you just put a wrench in it. Ma, your mic's on.
I just want you to play anytime of Mary, Did You Know by Kilo.
Okay. I will do
okay.
That.
Thank you. Thank
okay.
you,
bye-bye.
Mrs. Mom. I'm very happy that you said that because that's my favorite
Bring tears to my eye, Christmas song.
Has been since I first heard it. That's been a year or so ago when it first came out.
Wow. I will play it at the bottom of the hour when I come back from break.
Okay, make sure you play it all.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Merry Christmas,
so
everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
South Carolina, your mic is on.
There's a whole bunch of noise going on in the background, Tracy. I didn't want to say anything until I left out.
Okay. All right. Brown Beasley, your mic is on. Private caller, your mic is on.
You guys got to be ready on the button. The lady,
all right,
the lady 440,
your mic is on.
Is that me?
Yeah, that's you.
That's me, baby. How you doing, Miss Tracy?
I'm doing good. Here. How you doing? Merry Christmas.
Oh, hey, how you doing? I don't celebrate Christmas. Forgive me, but how you doing?
That's all right. Thankful. Okay, Merry Holiday.
All right. Happy to you, too.
happy Good Food Day. How does that work?
That's all right.
So what comment do you have?
Yes. We still talking about the the brother with he's absolutely right. I agree with all statements. Your studio lady, I think she's in the 19, we've been through a lot. So I can see how it could sound racist coming from, from your ears. But you got to understand, I'm hoping this brother is a brother. And it's really not racist when you're talking to your own people. It's pretty much like, I guess, like a beat down, like a chastening, if that's what it is, if, you know, being chastened.
I was picturing like a balding white guy.
No.
He's a black guy. Oh. A white guy couldn't say that and live.
No.
That's right.
Well, I mean, I'll be honest with you, the truth was given to the other nations a while back. So even if it came from another nation, it's the truth, man, the truth. The truth is made to set you free. And no matter who the truth come from, you got to get over the faces. And even with that N-word madness, you got to get over the faces and recognize the truth. And once you recognize the truth, then you'll be all right.
That was good.
That's a new way to look at things. Thank you.
You're welcome. The number, Alabama, go ahead, because I know you're itching to say something.
look, this is the thing,
look,
right?
Look, what? What?
This out. Check this out right here now. All right. I don't have a problem with black people patronizing other businesses from other races. I don't have a problem with that. I just think, let me get that straight. And I don't think that's what he said. I think he was saying, we don't have anything at all. We don't have any black business. Like, but what he's saying is, look, we need to start trying to build our own businesses, build our own community base up. Look, Asians, for example, they have per capita more businesses than anybody in this country, right? Asians go to Walmart. Asians go to any business. It's not like that, but they do have a base. And that's when we don't have anything. So when he says that, nobody's saying, look, I'm for that. I'm for that type of segregation in the sense that we need to have our own system, a financial economic system. That's all I was saying. I wasn't saying don't go and work, don't go to McDonald's if it's owned by a white man. That's crazy because you really don't know who owns what half the time. I was at, they got this flea market, a bunch of Africans working there. The guy that owns it is a white guy. Came on the microphone the other day, he talking about people in there peddling. Like, what do you know? White men own this. But it's a bunch of Africans that you buy your stuff from, and they pay him booth rent. So it just – that's what I'm saying. And as far as racism and stuff like that, the 19-year-old person said that was racism. I disagree because we got to know what real racism is. See, if you live in a system and every business you walk in is white, own. You can just about guarantee and bet your life that every business you walk in is a white guy own that business. And you come in and you see it that way and you continue to facilitate and you may do it inadvertently, but you do it then you can't get upset when somebody comes in and says, hey, we need to have more, because that's the only way to fix it, because white people have done that. That's how they think. That's what they do. That's what they do. That's what Asians do. That's what Hispanics do. But when it comes to black people, we got to, we can't see color. And I'm not saying be racist. I'm just saying let's have more, let's own more of our own stuff.
Go ahead, South Carolina.
Is Mike on the line still?
Yeah, Mike's out there.
Okay, not so blind. Tell him about Dolce Vita over in Florence.
Oh, yeah. Black-owned business, high-end, caters to a high-end clientele, does everything that you want. And the guy, what he did basically was he got deadly serious about wanting it so bad. He chased his dream. He did what he could do to leave the country, go to Belgium to learn how to be a fine chocolate maker, and 5 years later came back and opened a high-end business where you drink, you know, expensive glasses of wine and eat some of the finest chocolate in the world, and it's a great meeting place, and a lot of people go there who've got disposable income and stuff, and it's a black-run business right here in
town. But here's the kicker, though. Here's the kicker. On the front end of the business, and this is what Mike hasn't seen yet, the front end of the business doesn't look like him.
But it's not supposed
to. It's cashiers.
It's a business.
That's who he's catering to. That's his clientele. So what did he do? He made the clientele or his front end of his business look like the clientele, and he's very successful. Now, is there a problem with that?
No, but white people have come in. When I owned my company, because I had white people come to my company club and ask who the owner. They were the only ones that were asked who were the owner, who was the owner, and they stopped coming. I had a few. Now, of course, that is an anecdotal situation. The key I'm trying to make is that guy did something different. He went and learned how to do something. If I see people paying $200 for shoes, I want to learn how to manufacture those shoes. If I hear they can be made for $5, then I want to know how to do that. If I see people paying $700 for an iPad, I want to learn how to do that. I bought trying to be an accountant or get a degree in psychology from some university. That's the thing. That's not empowering me. That's making me an employee. That's what Booker T. Washington was talking about. You go to Tuskegee University, those bricks, they made that stuff with their hand. They built that stuff. We've lost that. That's what I'm talking about.
What no one seems to want to talk about also is when you talk about black businesses, you got to talk about the other side. Can we get a black business where black customers will feel like, okay, if we support this business, well, when somebody come with the highest bid, they won't buy from up under you? Or can we get a black business that has quality products? Every black business that we've had just about, anytime it was started by a person, somebody came with the right amount of money, they sold out.
Diva,
and
let me
can
say
we
this
have
way.
Some good
Diva,
quality?
Diva, hold on,
don't
Diva, hold on, hold on, hold on.
Because you're black that
Diva.
I have to support you, which
let me speak to this. Hold on, Diva, let me speak to this. Business is business. And business is a culture of its own. And so when we have, and I'm going to speak to what I really know the most about. When we owned the hair care industry, we owned it. We owned our own hair care industry. But it became very, very difficult to do after a while. And so you would be sitting there with a ton of bills in front of you and taxes behind you, and then someone would come in with a cash load of money saying, I'll buy this off of you, and we would sell out. Or you have children who did not want to go in the business, which is a big problem. Having children and them not wanting to take over the family business is very, very difficult. And it caused for a lot of businesses. I mean, that trillion-dollar industry, that multi-billion-dollar industry that we were a part of, we only have a small fraction of it today. Yet you have Koreans selling black hair care to without knowing hair care, without speaking English to black people. And now the market is so big you can't get back in it. Because we have not learned how to cultivate some things that we have, and that's our fault. We got to take responsibility for some things. We don't cultivate it, we don't support it, and we didn't demand it. And then on top of that, we have not learned how to work together for a common goal. Us not working together really kills us. And we need to be honest about that. The reason, and it's not about the prices. if I pay $2,500 for a purse, then I ought to be able to pay $250 for another purse. But I don't respect your business. Even if I have a good business, I may or may not respect your business. And that's something that we need to be honest about.
Here's the thing. You know, I've owned a business a long time, and I get clientele from both sides of the track. But the thing that that gets me is this. You don't realize what happened and why it happened that your neighborhoods and your and black businesses don't have quality businesses anymore. And when we were servicing ourselves, it was okay for a time. But don't forget, we were always looking over at that white business that looked clean and pristine in the 60s until we could go shop at that business because we wanted to look clean and pristine as well, whereas the poor black businesses, even though they filled a service, they were not a lot of times up to a high-end par. But today there's no excuse for that. We still do it because we have our barbecue joints and our, you know, our barbershops and things like that, that a lot of them are not up to par.
Jeff, mm-hmm. No, we don't. When you go into Detroit,
mm-hmm.
you got 80% black population.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have 80% barbecue shop owners. The best barbecue is owned by the Greek folks.
Wow. I don't think with Detroit, so I don't know.
We got Charlie Staples here, but I mean Staples has been here a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, but where's your soul food restaurant?
Who else, I was going to say.
Charlie Staples don't sell greens. He don't sell black eyed peas, and he don't sell cornbread. Where do I get that at?
Well, you do have one place to get it here.
And I don't want to go into the raggedy.
But you can sit down.
Montine's, okay.
I don't want to go to the raggedy, dirty restaurant to look like.
Well,
if you switch races and you take the black people and put them in the place and get them all the bills and they being all the corporations and take the white people and put them in these poor places where they can't get loans and in the poor and you walk in their business 10 years later, you're saying that the white people just know how to run business. They just better at it than blacks are. Is it that these people were denied resources for 400 and some years and all of a sudden 40 years ago, now we're going to start letting them vote. Now you're supposed to have something that somebody else had who hasn't been. Now, look, I think the government and the system.
It's not that hard to clean your business and keep things up to date.
Hey, 31, hold on. 314-269, your mic is on.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
And the comment about her saying the clean businesses, I've went into some Caucasian, Aryan, European businesses that look as if they were in the ghetto.
Oh, absolutely. Here it is. All businesses are not created equal. And just because you're white or something else doesn't mean that you're going to be clean. I used to be a health inspector, and believe you me, I shut places down for hours, you know, till they cleaned it up to be able to serve food to the public. And so I understand.
Well, let me say this, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Cleanliness is one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But service, quality of product is another. Standing by what I sell you, if I sell you something and it doesn't work,
mm-hmm.
don't give me a hard time when I bring it back. Take it back. You may have to eat a whole bunch of crow and a whole bunch of money. But if you didn't do it right, then you need to own up and say, listen, I'll do whatever. I'll eat what I have to.
Oh, absolutely.
Because customers.
Let me ask you guys this. Is every McDonald's make good burgers? Is every McDonald's clean? No. But if a white man owns, we'll still go back. But when it comes to a black business, you can't have it.
No.
No. Well, if your McDonald's is not right, believe you me, you're going to get a visit from corporate. And they're going to make sure that action is right.
You telling me every McDonald's makes good burger?
No,
I mean, you got a McDonald's.
I guarantee
everybody
on this phone got a McDonald's at least 2 miles from where they are right now, and I guarantee you done got a bad burger from that establishment at least once, and you didn't stop going.
I mean,
even in the hood here in Columbus, I don't see any dirty, raggedy McDonald's.
I've never gotten a bad. I've never gotten a bad burger. I may have gotten a cold burger. I may have gotten something that I didn't ask for, but I didn't get a bad burger. I can't say
that's
that.
That's what I mean and by bad. I mean cold, hard. The bread all hard,
absolutely.
Like you could bounce it like a basketball.
I've done that, but when I take it back, I always get my. McDonald's has a continuity, but I'm talking. See, it's one thing to be a part of a franchise. It's another thing to have your own business.
Yeah. So
I don't have the money to pay the black tax.
Wait a minute, and they come to Atlanta. A lot of black businesses in Atlanta are well-funded, and when you see well-funded black, you can't tell if a black or a white guy own it. You can't tell.
Do you frequent it?
They get those.
Of course I do.
They'd be able to.
Nephews get here frequently in Berkeley, Missouri.
Unlike the black businesses that's coming off of 5 years of saving and a few loans and a few friends that threw in, and we barely make it within the first 5 years. A lot of black people don't make it within the first 5 years.
But a lot of
no bank would give me a loan. No bank would give me a loan, Tracy, to do my comedy club.
Alabama,
I had to do that out of my pocket.
Listen. But you have. I have to say this, and Sticks and I always disagree on a lot of things. When you bite the bullet to go into business for yourself, you've got to be willing to do the have not, which means your kids may not get a Christmas. See, that's the part that people don't understand. Your children may not have a Christmas, and you may be wearing the same socks for a very, very long time, washing them out at night. See, you can't going into business does not give you brand new cars, give you the lifestyle that you're accustomed to. Going into business means you're going to sacrifice to make it grow.
Yep.
And that's something that people don't want to do as black business owners. And I'm not saying that black people
go for it,
but they don't understand.
You left the point, though, Tracy. You left the point. He made a very good point about underfunding of businesses in black communities. And you can document this within loans for minorities with the same credit score. This has been documented. Look, I believe y'all know me. I'm a conservative. I'm not a liberal. And then I believe in the same principles that you guys do. But I'm not stupid either. I still believe that there has been something done to stop people from getting these businesses so a person like people can come in there.
But listen to what I'm saying, guys. When I look at a business and you look at going to get a loan, that lender is looking at how long have you been in business, what does your numbers look like, and do they believe that your business is going to have longevity?
Are they colorblind?
No, they're never colorblind.
No.
But they call it a zip code. It's redlining. So when you put this business into the inner city of Youngstown and there's no other business to compare it to, they really don't have a lot of faith in it based upon where it is. And our problem is we don't have collective economics to where we come and support one another and say, I'm going to invest in your business to make it grow so it looks good on paper so we can show.
How about starting a business that you're passionate about and not just starting a business just because you don't want to work for somebody and just doing anything? Because
hold on, Diva. I started a comedy club and I had a lot of customers support me because I was black owned. A lot of people told me that because there's only three in the country. And a lot of people tried, and it was sad when I went out of business. I tried, and that was, I was passionate about it.
Alabama, what year did you start it?
Shoot, 2008.
Okay, let me say this to you. There are many comedy clubs in Los Angeles, but the longevity as a whole, if you take every comedy club, as a matter of fact, if you take a regular club and you look at the longevity of the club, it doesn't have the 30-year stretch that a bar has.
Right.
It should have an 8-month stretch, though.
It doesn't happen. 8 months is not what you – they don't need 8 months. They need to have at least 7 to 10 years, and most clubs don't even have that.
Let me tell you something,
Tracy, if you don't – you got to understand the demographics of what the entertainment is in a city like Montgomery, Alabama,
Alabama.
Go ahead.
I'm telling you, you're looking at national banks who are looking at national funding – and they're looking at
credit unions, local credit unions.
It doesn't matter. They're selling you cash They're looking on getting their money back because there has to be an end game. That's where conversation comes in when it comes to banking and lending.
You know what, the problem is, Tracy, and I had the funding.
Alabama, if you had had Alabama, if you had had a restaurant in there or a bar in there, you may have had a better chance. But listen to what I'm saying.
You didn't even talk to me. It was
Alabama.
Let me call you.
Alabama, you based it on a comedy club and not a restaurant that actually has comedy. It makes a difference in how you say it.
Wait. First of all, it's called the Last Dragon Comedy Pub. It was an old Asian restaurant that I found, and they had so much of an ornate ceiling and all that stuff. I just called it Last Dragon to make it something for all the comedians to joke on. And then I came in. I had a 4,500 square foot building. 1,200 square feet was the building with a freezer. I had a full kitchen.
I don't care.
I had 120 feet with a stage.
Alabama, that's true information. What I'm telling you, as a banker, as a lender, they're looking for your exit strategy so they can get their money back.
Tracy, this business did not fail because of it wasn't a good idea. This business failed because I didn't have the money to market and do it like I was supposed to. I had to do a lot of this stuff out of my back pocket.
It wouldn't have mattered, Alabama. Okay. It wouldn't have mattered. You know
okay.
why? Because 2008 was the downturn, and nobody was going to spend money to continue.
Wait, y'all, no,
wait,
that's nationally. Look up my look at the demographics of Montgomery.
Go ahead.
Please listen for a second. The reason why you couldn't keep it going is because even though they might come see you 1 month, they're not going to come back every couple of weeks to hear some comedy or even listen to music. Why? Because you know the disposable income was starting to stretch up right there. And so you got to do something.
Hold on. Listen, I need for some talk one at a time. I can't hear Jeff talk and you guys talk, and people are listening, and they can't hear both conversations.
Right.
So you've got to wait.
Tracy, five people trying to say talk to me at one time. That's what I'm saying.
Well, here's what I'm saying is I do events. So, I understand where you're coming from because I have to pick and choose the week I'm going to do an event so that it'll be successful. And the thing is because disposable income, people just ain't gonna pay every single week to go do something. You know, they don't have the money.
I understand that. I don't disagree with it, but why is it?
That was your problem right there.
You went too far. I'm just saying to you. You're talking from a passionate business owner, and I'm talking from a passionate business lender. And I'm saying to you the numbers, the statistics down the line for clubs. Whether it be comedy club, whether it be dance club, whether it be supper club, the longevity of actually getting their money back out is not what they call a sound investment.
Hey, Tracy.
That's it.
When you were in L.A., do you remember a club called Florentine Gardens?
No.
Okay. When I first went out to L.A., that was a club that had been there for like 25 years. It's called the Florentine Gardens. This thing, it cost you back in 84, it would have cost you $20 to get in this place. It had been there, it transformed itself three or four different times, but it had been in business consistently. It had 7 dance floors in it with different types of music.
I believe it changed names when I got there because I know what you're talking about.
Okay.
It's currently House of Blues.
Okay. But I mean, the place is a gold mine. But you have to be able to market.
But overall, when you look at the longevity, remember everything now in banking has a ROI, return on investment value, and that features and benefits. And so when it comes to us getting money, if you want to have a comedy club, if you want to have a business, then you're going to have to find people who are willing to invest in you and what you do outside of traditional banking.
Yeah.
Banks don't even want to loan the churches no more.
I know a couple people who started. I know my cousin owns a cleaning business. They started with just buying their own products and starting off small, and now it's grown. They now have government contracts that they do commercial cleaning for. My brother-in-law, he started working cutting hair out of his house, and then he grew from there. Sometimes you got to take what you have where you at and go from there because sometimes they ain't going to want to help you, whether it's what
Tracy
said,
right.
or the color of your skin. It all mashes together
But it doesn't make a difference anymore. Right now, you just got to. Right now, I've got friends who have been in business 30 years and own grocery stores that can't get loans.
That's right.
And they're white, and they got money, and they can't get a loan. They got the money sitting in the bank and can't get a loan.
Tracy, am I still muted?
No, you're not muted, but I got another call to pull up. 314, your mic is on.
Y'all just talking to me. All these points won't even let me talk. Go ahead.
I know. 314, your mic is on.
Hey, it's me again. I just got cut out. I'm back. I'm just listening.
I got another 3-1. Pionki, is that you?
I'm here. I'm listening. I'm voice my opinion when I feel the time is right.
All right. Who's a private caller that's in here? Who has a private number?
Unlisted, yeah.
The number is 347-945-5229. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to leave the phone lines open. You guys go for what you know. I'll be back. You're listening to Tracy.
It's dangerous, Aaron. Tracy.
Here
dangerous.
On, here on WSOM AM 600. We'll see you in the other.
Can I come up for air now?
Can
I come up for air? Because they just told me, they just described my whole business model without even letting, I'm the guy that, she said, well, you should have had tables in the kitchen. Like, well, you didn't even ask me what I had. You don't know the situation varies from city to city. Like entertainment, different things like that, as far as how much money I had, what happened, how it worked. It was profitable, but you do have costs that you run out of money. But you need to be able to make it through those first few months to be able, because a lot of people didn't even know much. I meet people now, we had a comedy club, and it wasn't a comedy club. That wasn't the name of it. It was actually Comedy Pub, because a lot of guys, what they do is they get these bar and grill licenses. And then get a dance floor and turn it into a club. I didn't have a dance floor. It was a real comedy club, like how you used to see on Def Comedy Jam. That's how it was. People loved it, but nobody knew about it. It took such a long time. I needed that type of marketing to get it out there, and I couldn't.
Now,
and then 8 months is not enough time to do that. So if I was out in business, I had $200,000 and ran through it, then maybe the business model didn't work. Hold on, let me make a point. Maybe the business model didn't work if I had ran through $200,000 in a year and a half and didn't make any money. If people knew about it, then maybe you have a point. But that's not enough time when you don't have – first of all, I did the first 6 weeks was a soft opening. And then I did it near this time of the year in 2008. I really ran into 2009. And in Montgomery, we didn't get hit by the housing bubble as much as other people did. We're not California. So people, you can look this up if I'm not lying. People still coming to Montgomery, Alabama buying houses now because it didn't get caught up in all those jacked up high, ridiculous prices.
Right.
So that didn't apply to Alabama, Montgomery anyway.
Right.
So the business failed because of I didn't have the money, but I'll take the blame for that. But I think that I've seen people get funding in the same city. I know some of the same people they borrow their money from for some of the dumbest ideas you ever want to see, and then they go out of business. But that guy got $300,000 to try it. It's not, and this has been documented throughout history where people with same credit scores and different things on houses and businesses. They don't get – black African-Americans don't get as much funding, and we don't even have our own banks to even try to go to each other and borrow money. So who else are you going to go to? So I did it out of my pocket.
Yep. That leads back to what I said in the beginning. You have to be able to be self-sustainable for at least 5 years. So maybe you started it too big. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I mean, I made mistakes, so I wouldn't be on this phone, which I'd probably be somewhere in Barbados. So you might be right.
You started too big, started small and growing out. You started big.
I mean, man, I got a great deal on the rent. Man, the lease was just $2,700 a month, which is cheap for a dog on 5,000, right at 5,000 square feet with a kitchen.
But then you got to put in the bills and all the fundings.
And then the utilities on that 5,000 square foot building.
You didn't have the funding for the marketing.
And I didn't.
Marketing comes from either radio or word of mouth.
I ran through $600 a week in radio funding. And they ran it during Steve Harvey and ran it at the Drive at 5. And they were gouging me. $600-$700 a week just for radio. People don't understand. That was my biggest expense. I was getting comedians for $400 for the week, for the weekend. And that still was losing money because it was done radio.
Marketing is going to be your biggest expense. For majority businesses, marketing is where you're going to spend the most money.
Yeah. Can't argue with you.
And also, you have to know your demographic more, too.
Yeah.
That's what I actually paid to do a feasibility study. Alabama State got a business incubator, and I paid like $400 to do that before I got started. And that's why I was advertising, and I went and in the radio stations to do it, too.
Okay.
And they were like, this is your market, the Tom Joyner, Steve Harvey crowd. That's what you want to go for.
Let me give you an example of business stupidity. I live in a suburb where it's predominantly white. Okay? There is a black hair care store right down the street in this little plaza. I went in there the other day, and it was telling me how they were about to go out of business. And I said, well, why are you guys going out of business? He's like, well, we're just not making any money. And I'm looking at all the products on the shelves. It's black products, hair weaves, and wigs.
Black products.
And I'm thinking to myself, why would they start their business in a predominantly white neighborhood and not sell any product that caters to the demographic?
Yep.
White people pay way more for their hair to get done than black women. They pay ridiculous fees.
Well,
my mama raised
hair. It was a beauty store.
How you gonna have?
And it was
not
in there for the white customer.
Say it again. I can't hear both of y'all. Say what?
She's right. She's correct. I mean, how can you have Yaki in the middle of the stick somewhere? That don't make sense. You win.
I agree.
It's like,
man, you're arguing with
you. You know, so, yeah, she, you know, I guess the sister might have found, they might have figured sisters like you and others who were out there had money, you all were going to flock to their shop, but that was a bad move.
But
my homeboy got a shop in the white side of town, and he cut black hair. But there are a lot of brothers that move out to the suburbs once they make a few dollars. He charging $25, $30 a haircut and getting it and got a line out the door because he's serious with them clippers.
There's not enough between the barber and that hair.
And a beauty shop. A beauty supply store. It's a complete difference because there's not enough of us in this area to support that business.
Now, if she would have been a beauty salon,
that'd have been a different story.
Then it would have been more profitable because she would have been making money off the hair and the hair care products.
Yeah.
And one thing about white people, they practice group economics more than we think they do. That they will come in. They came into my business. Who owns? It was like four or five instances. White people came and asked who the owner was and just pulled off. Literally, is he black? Is he white? Is he, you know, they were asking those type of questions to the waiters. I was just shocked.
I don't care who owns
it. It wasn't in the hood, and I got a great deal. I negotiated down, got a great deal on the guy because they had been sitting there for a while. Because you don't pay $2,700 for a restaurant. You just don't. You pay $20,000 a month or more.
That was a steal.
That was. My God, you can pay more than that for a freezer locker. But, you know, in all businesses, the one thing, it doesn't matter what color the business is, but there's always one thing that everybody tends to overlook, and the business has got to make sense. You got to be selling what the area is demanding.
Exactly.
And so, like,
you know what? I'm going to tell you something crazy. I'm going to tell you something weird about Montgomery, and this is just kind of like how they got Black Authority thinks the guy on the video. They'll pay $10 or $20 or $30 to cut in line, to go in the club and stand and look at each other and listen to music. Mm-hmm. Or they'll get in the car and drive 160 miles away to go to a comedy club in another city.
And I wanted to play a little CeeLo Green. I promised my mom I'd play it, so I did. So there it is. You guys were online. You guys missed it. Sorry. Alabama, did you get your point across?
No, I ain't finished. You cut me off. Let me keep going. They'll pay $10.
The Alabama and Tracy Show.
No. So the Tracy Show No, it ain't even Alabama because we're in Ohio.
Yeah, he's wearing his Foster Grant that he's about to have a coup d'etat here.
Jeez, oh, man. And the number 347-945-5229. You got anything to say, Annie, because, you know, you've been over there texting a while.
About local businesses? No, I just got out of high school.
Okay, just checking.
I like spending my parents' money. That's
smartest thing I heard her say.
I don't know anything. I'm sorry.
Hey, Tracy, on the subject of consumers.
It's okay. I'm not trying to be ignorant. I just...
No,
I really,
you're all right.
I
you just got to celebrate me.
Hold on. What'd you say, not so blind, Mike?
I was saying on the subject of consumers doing dumb things, there's another demographic who's not a minority and who has money, and that's your ascribing upper middle, trying to push into the upper middle class, and they're the ones that walk around with things in their pocket like American Express cards, which is one of the most unfavorable cards you can have in your pocket, the way they treat you, you know? But the prestige of whipping out that American Express card, and yet it's one of the dumbest things you can carry.
Why is American Express the dumbest thing you can carry?
Just all their fees.
My brother got one.
Trust me,
I know.
A card that charges you $400 a year to be a member, just for the privilege of carrying their plastic. A card that lots of merchants will pull you aside and say, "Look, I'll give you a 10% discount right now if you don't use that card," because it takes them 120 days to get their money sometimes in the restaurants and stuff when they're operating on an 8% profit.
That's right.
No.
Yeah, American. Yeah.
They're a bunch of gangsters the way they run that card. But they built up the image. You're nobody unless you carry one. So a lot of struggling middle class trying to push to the next level will walk around those cards like they're somebody and it's a joke carrying that card.
But now hold on. Now wait a minute. You've got to have good credit to have.
That Roman head on there, that's why they doing you.
Listen, y'all trying to, you know, y'all mess around. I ain't going to have no advertisers. I want to, you know, y'all not going to let me have nobody.
The pins expressed here are not necessarily Tracy's, but they do represent the caller in.
So now you got a Duck Dynasty thing going on.
Yeah. Wait a minute. That ain't going to stop it because remember the clip played before. It's still going to be some hair hats buying them purses, and it's still going to be.
Yeah.
It's still going to be people buying them cars, so it ain't going
to
stop you.
But American Express wants you to think that integration is okay because the biggest card you can carry in your pocket, if you want to really be important, is the black American Express card.
I know. I'm trying to get there.
They got a new one out. It went from silver to platinum to black, and now they have a new one. It's called the Diamond Card.
Yeah,
it's
the Diamond Card.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
And what does the Diamond Card do?
You can get up to
no
like
idea.
A certain amount of money.
Well, the way it was explained to me, you could go to any city in America, buy the city without a credit check.
That's believable.
No, all you have to do is go to Target right now, and you can do the same thing.
Yeah, but I mean, debt is prestigious. Like, you walk around like you're somebody to whip out American Express and impress your date.
No, wait a minute.
They have no favorable terms. Most of them aren't revolving credits. You've got to pay them off in 30 days. I mean, they're nothing more than a high-fee debit card for a lot of people.
So,
but they
so
it's
Mike,
prestige.
Mike, how do you really feel about American Express?
Well,
but
I'll tell you.
My brother has it. He has one, and every month he's paying it off. He'll get a $20,000 check and have to pay out $12,000 on American Express.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
But does he have a black one?
No, it's just like what he said. You got to pay it off every 30 days.
No. If he has a black one, call me and let me know. Is he married?
Yeah, he married.
I'm like, now, Tracy, we trying to hook you with Alabama, and now you trying to scoot in on his brother. You can't be doing that.
Tracy got one blue phone.
What's an old blue song?
Old blue song. Feel like breaking up somebody's home.
No. I don't do married folk. I don't do married man. No, Jeffrey.
Tell me. I'm thinking with you, Tracy.
Tracy got class.
What's going on? Merry Christmas. I know you don't celebrate Christmas, and we're not talking about Jehovah's Witness today. So how you doing? How you doing, Steve?
Oh, I'm good.
That's good.
Yeah, I did wanted to bring them up. Tell you that one time they did celebrate Christmas.
I told you.
Hey, Steve, leave on there, Steve.
Hold it, hold it.
You don't want
to advertise,
no.
Steve. You got to pay.
Steve,
to get
you do this every time.
The rate.
Listen,
I'm sorry, I stepped on you.
Steve, he walked in the door. I told him I wasn't talking about Jehovah's Witness, and what'd he do? He wanted to tell me that they. I don't care if they celebrated Christmas at one time.
Neither do I.
Right.
Y'all
right.
So mean to Steve. Y'all gonna quit being so mean to Steve?
I'm
mean.
Is that gonna be what we do in the 2014?
Diva, listen, Jeff's letting you on his page. I ain't promising that.
I got to for 5 more months till I can block her.
Why you want to block her?
Because sometimes Diva get on your nerves on your page.
How does Diva get on your nerves?
Because she don't stop. You bring up every text in the world, and it don't matter.
She
texts just like she talk here on the radio.
Changed friends yesterday. She's debating me already.
Alabama, you're worse than me, so...
But see, here's the thing I gotta say though. I used to call Diva stupid, and I can't call her stupid no more because that's wrong. And I still got stupid people. I still got stupid people on my page now. There you go, Steve's calling back. So you be nice to him now. It's Christmas.
Don't call your microphone. Okay.
You can call him back again. Anyway, she's been doing her homework here lately, and when she come back, she actually has some substance to her answers.
Is she agreeing with you now, Jeff?
No, not necessarily. But she comes back with some answers that make sense that have some degree of fact to make her point with. She wasn't doing that at first. She was just throwing stuff up against the wall before. That's my opinion. Okay, but I've been seeing that change here lately, in my estimation.
Okay.
That's because she had her husband by her own tribe, and they started calling her a traitor.
Hold on, Mike. Yes, yes, Annie.
I haven't known Diva very long, but there is an
art. Talking to Mike.
Okay, there is an art to arguing. You have to learn how to do it, and, you know, it seems like she knows how.
Oh, she's got to be with
Annie.
That fan.
Strange despair, just a misery.
Oh my gosh, that's why you put my business out there like that. You're going to make all my liberal friends hate. Well, they're already starting not to.
Exactly.
They like me.
They also like, they shut you from the tribe because you dared to speak
blasphemy. Hold on, they said Tracy and Jeff have taken over my brain or something. I've been abducted by Tracy and Jeff Aliens or something.
You're entering a new phase of your life, Diva. Before this, guys just wanted you for your body. Now they want your brain.
Oh, my gosh. I was going to say, how you know my body look like?
You know what, though, Diva? To be honest with you, it's a rarity, especially for black women I met. Most of them don't have an opinion about anything. They don't. Like, they. I can sit on this phone and talk about this stuff. They won't have. If they do... They'll just make an opinion and be upset and call me whatever, call me a name, and that's it. Most women I've met, especially African American, do not have an opinion about politics, life. Just they don't. They just all they care about is, you know, a lot of love and hip hop or you know what's on TV or some gossip.
I would have to agree with
brand.
You. I would have
but
to
when
agree
you
with
talk
you.
Talk to them. They don't have no. You talk to them. You can bring history, facts, whatever, and they'll just say, "Well, I just don't think it's right." Like, well, then what about all this stuff I just gave you? They don't
that's
care.
The,
they don't
that
care about facts.
Be a part of the fight. They ain't supposed to be a part of that fight. That's one of the main reasons why entertainment was made with gossip for the ladies. They ain't supposed to be part of that fight. That's a man's fight right there. So of course,
you're right, bro.
You know, they're not supposed. You know, and we ain't even supposed to engage in that. You know, because you know how it is when you going around a hen peck, baby. You get pecked up in that conversation talking about the Atlanta Housewives. Why?
Oh my gosh! I don't do
talk about scandal.
I
hate scandal. I hate that show.
Oh,
shut
man.
Up, Alabama! You got some cool points. Now you lose them. You can't talk about scandal.
Case in point. Go ahead.
Watch out now.
Come on now, y'all, man, I swear, black men are so harsh on black women, just as harsh, just as much as y'all say that black women are harsh on black men.
Diva, hold on, how many years have y'all had the last 30 years to go in on black men?
I date outside of my race. Y'all too harsh on us.
I wouldn't say I'm hard on the sisters. I love the sisters. It's just that the common sense part I'm hard on, and I should be getting the same from the sisters. If it's common sense and I don't get it, it's all right to be hard on me. But at the same time, you know, the things of a woman are things of a woman, the things of a man are things of a man. But it's the common sense where we need to, you know, get it together on.
I mean, I get that. That's
I can't argue with no sisters on subjects like politics or – I just can't. I mean, I ain't trying to be funny like I'm above them. I just – a lot of them don't have any opinion about it, and a lot of them – but you talk about Love and Hip Hop or Preach to L.A., they got something to say. They got – you know, they got – they own that.
That's women in general because there's a lot of non-black women who watch their shows and they don't – or have opinion on what life is, but it's not.
I think the brother just made a point about how he spoke, how you're supposed to look at a man. I think this is just my personal opinion. You can find documentation of people that create these shows, and these people really do want to try to turn the white woman, black woman, against the black. There is some sort of amnesty, you know, between us, and I think it's manufactured. I don't think it's. There always things are just changing.
You look at it that way. I look at it as. A lot of these shows, especially like Tyler Perry, want you to get it from a black woman's perspective and see that, look.
No, Tyler Perry tried to do it from a perspective.
Those
are the lowest two movies
because
black women don't want to see that.
But see, Tyler Perry is making the money off of what has already been happening before because I can remember How to Be a Player with Bill Bellamy and brothers really striving to do that and sisters really striving to get back at those brothers, and that does nothing but start a domino effect. Now, everybody wanted the player, messed up, ran into the sister that's trying to build a family, messed her head up. I'm not saying that nobody's weak or strong, but just showing how this works. And at the same time, you got that going on. Now, she upset, but then she figures, you know, she watches the videos and see that, and I'm just giving an example, she see that the thug is a new thing, so now she go look for boys in the hood that ain't making money. Now she doing this, and now it's a domino effect.
But see,
so it,
here's the thing.
There has been a
you guys try to
type.
Read women, but you don't know. You read us, but you don't understand. That woman that is looking for that thug, it's not that he's a thug and he's a low life or anything. It's the fact that she feels safe and protected. Whether you agree or not, but she knows brother man going to stand
hold
up
on,
to somebody.
Hold on, Diva. What man you know going to let somebody disrespect this woman? What man is going to let somebody disrespect this woman?
Any of them.
He will protect you. She will protect you, yes, from another man. Yes, you can say that that's something that brothers that make this money has lost. But at the same time, a man is going to protect you from anything, regardless if it be another man, regardless if it be you about to lose your everything. He will protect you from everything. So, I'm not clowning.
It's
brothers
a lot of brothers
know how to do what they do.
You,
what
I'm not saying you guys are that way, but when you see
that.
A sister, you trying to figure out why she is going for this type of man. Usually, it's something that she's already an experience that she's already had with the kind of man that you are saying that you are. I'm not saying you guys aren't, but I'm saying it's a lot of brothers out here who be trying to act like they men, and they got the look going on, they got to talk right, they got to act right. When the layers start peeling back, they're not that way at all. At least with a thug, you know what you're getting.
I got a thug.
I've never heard anybody justify.
That's justification. It's about understanding. People are tired of being. We're tired of being deceived. We're tired of being deceived.
So you're basically leaving the bad. So what I'm hearing is you're basically leaving the bad to go to another bad. That makes no sense.
To the worst.
You see,
I know that this person is exactly who I know this person is. Mm-hmm. I don't have to, and that's on me.
Which is a guy that has 5 and 6 kids out of wedlock, sells drugs illegally, and probably not going to be around to help your next child.
And you know he's a dog. And most women, they take that on themselves, and they understand that.
But you're putting the same
you have
point.
Somebody,
you
a brother who is clean cut, who is intelligent, who's telling you all this stuff. He's doing right. He's giving you. He's basically selling you a black Prince Charming. Everything that every black little girl has grown up and thought that they were going to be with. He's selling you all that, and then you get with him, and then you find out, oh no, he's a wolf in sheep clothing. And you're hurt. You're torn up because
That same brother, is a brother that's saying how to be a player. So you go to the I'm telling you from a man's point of view, we watch these movies now. These are conversations amongst our when the women are around, not just these how to be a players, but every pretty much stereotype of our community or people, whatever you want to say. And when that conversation, we can hear, now there are certain men that can take part of these conversations and actually hear the results of what this movie, this commercial, this video, this radio song has done to this man. And that's the type of man that you have out there. You really have to.
Well, let me mention this though, home. Don't you feel like a lot of brothers around these sisters that they step over to get to those guys? Every guy that's got a job and got an education is not a dog. Just like every thug is not good in bed. So it's just a stereotype that you got to take people from case by case basis. Because ain't nobody finna disrespect my woman. Nobody. So you can feel safe with me. Because I ain't finna let nobody disrespect my woman, but I'm not going to think before I act, too. I'm not just going to go be the guy senseless and go sit in the jail cell for 10 years just because I'm trying to defend your honor. Man.
See, what she's saying is that she's dating these guys that are not thugs and all that, but they still not what she's looking for, you know, because they lie. And they deceive after a while, end up getting another woman pregnant or end up being gay. You know what I'm saying? With the thug is already, he knows who he is and he's telling everybody in the world who he is. She's using the thug as an example, not saying that she want to go and be with thug. I don't know the sister's preference.
No, I'm sorry. No, I don't do thugs.
You know what I'm saying? But
well, let me ask you this, though. Why is it that a guy who stands up?
You can't even curse around Diva. You could be square as a box of cornflakes and say fiddlesticks.
Let me ask you this. Why is it that the guy that won't react?
You know,
the guy that won't think is the guy that's attractive.
Everybody, first off, Merry Christmas.
What's up, Brown?
Merry Christmas, Sir Beasley.
Merry Christmas.
It's your friend from California. I was listening to you guys talk earlier before I get into the conversation. That's sad. And I don't know if it has to do with your surroundings, and you guys are even on social networks, that you said you can't bump into urbane, hip, and sophisticated black women. That's sad. No, who didn't say that?
I said it. Look, most black women, let me clarify.
And it is Christmas Eve, and it's 9 minutes after the hour of 2 o'clock. And Annie and I, thank you for Annie Kemp for coming in, and I look forward to seeing you next week.
No problem, boss.
No, I'm not the boss. I'm a cool boss.
You are, but you're still my boss.
I'm not your boss.
I still gotta do what you say.
Oh, lunchtime.
You can walk to the subway. It's right across the street.
No, cold walk there. That's cool.
I wouldn't make that happen. I'm still a gentleman.
But can you walk to the Dollar General? It's closer. I didn't make it. You know, everything was closed today. That was quick, except for fast food, and.
That's no good.
I know. Hey, guys in the room, how are you? Are you guys behaving? No.
Yes, ma'am.
314.
Yes, ma'am.
How's the weather out in your land?
It's bitter cold.
Oh, okay.
9 degrees right about now.
Oh, y'all.
Wow, y'all colder than us.
No, we doing good. I will not complain. Never mind.
In America.
I will not complain. I will not complain because I thought I was going to gripe for a minute, but, you know, the South Carolina is going to come up with some 65 degrees, I know.
Oh, man. That's
and sunny.
Right.
It does.
You know what? I wish my family had
it's like 52.
Back.
Okay, 52. Okay.
52.
Thanks a lot, South Carolina, 52.
Our winter hasn't been too bad this year.
No, it's not too bad as long as you got a coat and a hat.
I mean, we're used to, like, a tundra in Ohio.
Local call, your mic is on. Is that you, Steve, or is that somebody else?
Yeah, it's me, Steve.
What, Steve?
Well, Miss Tracy,
I'm going to hang up on you if you go there.
Well, what I was going to say, I'm going to bring up about the birth of Christ.
I told you.
One of us. Listen, Steve, call back. I ain't going to let her hang up on you like that no more. Call right back. Don't listen. You leave my friend Steve alone. We both grew up in the same hood, and unless he starts talking to Diva or talking about Jehovah's Witness, he deserves to be heard.
I'm telling you, if he brings up Jesus, he's gonna bring up Jehovah's Witness, and I'm not going there today.
Well, geez, Jeff, he can't even say hi to me.
No.
No, I'm sure he said hi to you in that chat room.
No, he doesn't say hi to me anymore because y'all be so mean to him now. He doesn't say hi to me anymore.
I play love songs when he calls for you.
Steve, listen. Steve calls me when I get off the air and wants to know why I don't let him talk. And I done told him we don't do Jehovah's Witness radio. I done told him. Now, what part of I done told him we're not doing Jehovah's Witness radio do you want?
It's a cult.
I don't care what you call it. You can call it a cult. You can call it a messed up. And it's barely knock on my door. So I know.
Wait a minute.
What?
They locked on our door a couple years ago. And so Cheryl let them in, right?
Wrong.
No, it was good.
Not for them.
It wasn't good for them because then they started bringing up all these things about the word. And so she jammed them up real quick, you know. And then next week they came out with one of the elders.
Right, they brought the reinforcements.
Yeah, he brought them up. And then after she jammed them up then I was there the next time, and they came in with this craziness. And I said, well, you know what? The word said blah blah blah. We just tag team beat them down. They haven't been back since.
They don't knock on my door, so you know.
Look, if you don't know what it says, don't come to me, please.
When I told them they were from Albert Pike, they never came back at my door.
I grew up in a neighborhood where they were very active. Like a week or two, a week wouldn't go by where we wouldn't see them. And they were super, super active, and they always knocked on my door. And I would talk with them as a kid, but one thing I started to learn to do as a kid is I would say, you know, if you guys are really good people, you would help me do what I got to do these chores. You would help me sweep the leaves in the back and put them in the bags, and I'd be happy to hear your message because I believe in what you're saying, and I know, and I'm glad that you come back. But if you're really men, if you're really good people, you've come to help and spread the word, and I need some help right now, brother. And I've done this, and they would come help me with my chores, and I had major stuff to do, so I don't really have a difficulty with Jehovah's Witnesses.
Come on, let me
say that. They walked in one day and saw I had a Christmas tree and started telling me that that was wrong. And I said, I only do it for my woman. I said, I really don't care about the tree. But my woman wanted me to put it up. She goes, does she believe in the tree? No, she wanted me to cover the pentagram I had cut in the floor.
Hilarious. Mike, if you make me spit my coffee out, I'm going to come down there and get you.
This is the issue. I really want y'all to know the only Jehovah's Witness I'm letting in my house is Prince.
That's because you know him.
Ain't because I know him. That's just because I want to hear him play. I want to hear him sing it. I want to see it live.
Matter of fact, there was something about it in the chat.
Yeah,
it's funny we're on this subject right now because there was something on the news earlier this morning about how they're going to fix the problems with the website and the sign-ups for Obamacare. They're going to start just having Jehovah's Witnesses go around with the application since they go to everybody's door twice a week in the whole country.
Speaking
of Obamacare, I want you guys to know today is the last day for you to sign up for Obamacare to have coverage by January 1st.
Unless, of course, there's an executive order saying different.
Jeff, why do you have to help? Jeff.
Because you know that this
is a, this, you know what this is like to me?
What?
Leave the traps out another week and so we can grab as many of these suckers in here as we can.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Listen, I'm going to tell everybody, I disagree with the legislation, all the pieces. But if you go, if it's going to be there, go get yours. Because, folks, is, if they're going to be stupid with them. If you can't beat them, join them.
Ain't touching me with that shit.
Hey, dude, I'm on Trust Your Radio. You can't cut.
Oh, forgive me, Miss Trace. Forgive me.
See, you can't do that.
No. You can't even cuss in the green room with Diva.
No. Thank you very much, Diva, for keeping it real.
I thought she was joking at first, but she really is a stickler for not even, I just said snot.
There are so many more words in the English language.
Yes. When I grew up, I wasn't even allowed to say shut up. So I think we're doing really good. I wasn't.
Yeah, there's so much.
Shut up could get you killed.
No, Sir Beasley would say more than just snot.
Oh, yeah, I heard
Italian
the other day.
Yeah. Why do you like Italian man. Music? Why
yeah,
do you like old Italian singers, Diva?
Yeah.
Frank Sinatra, right? You're talking about him. You didn't like him?
I don't know. That about old Frank Sinatra.
You should learn. Frank Sinatra makes some beautiful music. Yes, sir.
Happy
holidays to you, Jeff.
Yeah, Frank was smooth now. But Beasley, when you cursed the other day, the chrome fell off my bumper, man.
Unbelievable.
It was unbelievable.
Did he
cut the chrome off the bumper?
Beasley.
That's what my mother used to say.
Beasley, listen.
Yes, ma'am.
You be good when you call Tracy and friends. When y'all call them other crazy people, then y'all could just go for what you know. But they, I don't know if they're trying to make a business out of this.
Tracy,
I'm trying to get a bank loan.
Well, if I weren't within the guidelines, the rules and parameters. You wouldn't let my mic open. I know how to behave.
Okay.
You know what though? Like one of the most vile cuss words I've heard is the MF, and I heard it came from slavery when they used to make the son go and mess with his mother. That's where it came from. Yeah, that's that, and it. A lot of slavery. I was talking to a guy, and he was like, a lot of slavery had to do with sex too, because it was just a free for all on black women.
Free the cattle.
Yeah, it's like, man, come on, you can get a free orgasm. Think about it. You could go wild. You don't have to own a slave. My friend has a plantation with 100 black women on it. I mean, it was just crazy, man. It was psycho back then. It ain't like, people talking about slavery like
property,
it was all about
was
just picking cotton.
That,
it wasn't just picking cotton. It was about getting down too.
If you look at 12 Years a Slave, they opened the door and to some of the sexual perversion that went on. And
it's even.
What do you mean slave? Hold on, Brown.
Well, they kind of let slaves get married, but some
they did.
Even if you got married, it doesn't mean that your master couldn't take you.
Yeah, that's
where the F word came from.
Like more than
two-thirds.
No. See, we're talking about even if you broke up the family, if the white house,
so much rape,
if he wanted her, there was nothing that the father that man could do to protect her.
Nothing that man.
Hey, my bloodline ain't yellow because my grandmama married a white man. So.
And another thing you got to look at, they would come and do it in your face to break you down as a man. They was messing with your head.
Yeah,
no, there's no doubt about it. They had to demean you. Because of they had to use you for nothing but your strength. They didn't want your intellect. They didn't want anything from you except your strength. And that's how they did it. They made you use yourself against yourself.
And they go pay for it.
But, well, that's why they made it a
crime. No, I'm saying they'll come and mess with your wife. You can marry a slave. They'll come into the slave quarter and sleep with your wife in your face and say, if you better like it. If you don't, I'm going to hang your husband.
That's even more
perverted and sick than that. There were records, and I'm sure there was rampant sexual attacks on men as
Everyone
well.
Faces challenge.
Right.
Right. Boys, too. Baby boys, too.
On men, exactly.
Exactly.
Sick
people, yo.
Exactly. Sick Talk people. About, you know, dehumanizing you and taking your manhood away or that existed as well. It's a violation.
I don't think people realize that.
Right.
Well.
You're talking about enslaving the people.
Hold on, whoa, dude. One at a time.
I was just saying, you're not talking about free labor. You're talking about free labor, free sex, free anal sex, free anything, free boost your, anything you can do to boost your ego. It was, slavery was worse than just what you see in these movies.
Have you seen 12 Years a Slave?
No, I have not.
The scenes in 12 Years a Slave make Ruth look like Mary Poppins. It's very disturbing.
It's very upsetting. Also, the way that they had the slaves portray themselves is very upsetting. Not just the degrading scenes where the man was beaten and the woman was raped and all of that. It's just the whole portrayal of the slavery was degrading. And
can I ask a question? I need to ask a question of you guys because I have not seen 12 Years a Slave. And I probably will not see it. But then I haven't watched The Butler either, and I didn't watch Django Unchained either. My question is, we know that slavery was heinous. We know that, and we do a lot of conversating and talking about these. But do these movies actually come to educate, or do they come to infuriate and to control? Because at the end of the day, if it's not going to have a positive end, then, and if we don't have all people and actually having conversation about this so it never happens again so that people can be free, what good is learning all of this and all it does is infuriate you more and more about what happened in your past?
They don't come to educate, and I can tell you for sure, they don't come to improve race relations. They don't come to improve race relations, and I would even go a little further to say, when you just look at the proliferation of the movies that are coming out recently that are supposed to be telling the black experience, where you have The Help, where you have The Butler, which I just saw recently, and it was a good story, but when you have blacks constantly in subservient and remedial positions in life, there's other stories to be told. Why do these stories get told? And there's another common thread, the real common thread that permeates throughout all of these movies, and that is the poor, suffering black person who's stuck in their social strata and the nice white person that comes along and helps them.
That's the common thread.
Whoa, hold on, Brown.
Because
I need to get everybody in because I asked it. I want everybody to get an. I want to answer it because I keep on seeing this coming, but I don't see any conversation. I don't see any education, and I know all it does is make you mad at white men and white folks.
There is conversation,
Brown,
but it's not
amongst those that need it.
But I see it.
You can't monopolize the whole show.
But I'm
hold
not
up.
Trying
I gotta
to monopolize
let...
the conversation. I'm trying to correct you because there is conversation amongst intelligent, well-spoken, well-thought, educated black folks. It even exists right on Twitter, and they've discussed this stuff in detail.
Okay, let's do this again. But as I said, does it help? The question was, does it help race relations? Go ahead, Diva.
See, I see it differently. When I see people, when I see these type of movies, I actually can think of my ancestors going through this, and I also look at what is now. But I see it as people overcoming. I see it as a story being told and showing how these people have overcome. And it just goes, and it just, for me, it makes me feel like, wow, I can do anything. If they have gone through this much, and gone through so much worse than any black person could possibly go through now, and they've overcome that, we have no excuse.
We haven't overcome it.
kids overcome their personal struggles, because in the movie The Help, that woman, those maids, were treated like crap. But they didn't let it hinder what the real main goal was, which was putting out their story. And they used all of that to put that story out. It motivated them to put that story out. And all of the, and it emboldened the rest of them.
But look what it did, though. And one thing, even though he tried to be very somebody's making a lot of noise in the background. Please mute your phone. You know, when you had a situation, notice the one thing, they tried to slant it to where conservatives were these evil people, and yet they had to admit, and the guy, the butler, had to admit that the only person that brought parity to the equal pay in the White House was Ronald Reagan. And they did not want to bring that fact out, and they hated to bring that fact out. But the great Jimmy Carter did not bring parity to that situation. And what it, but what these things do is
how you interject.
Let me finish this, please.
To every discussion about race, Ronald Reagan also supported Herkheide and wouldn't speak up against
Herkheide. You should follow them because they're
going
to have your best interest at heart, and they're going to do this. But I loved the movie because they showed the real side of Johnson. They because when the man was Johnson was given the thing about Negroes, he said, "When did we become Negroes?" He calls us nigga. I mean, he said the word nigga more than we say it. And so that was a telling point in history, which I've been trying to scream, that Johnson did not want any civil rights. He had to do civil rights because he had a war that he was getting ready to expand, and he could not have people fighting at home. And they had to kill Martin Luther King for the same reason.
And, but my question
is, I didn't see the
line. Are we still going down the line? Are we still going down the line?
Listen, yeah, man, y'all won't let me go without coming in the middle. Go ahead, Alabama, because I'm curious about this.
The point you guys just made about the movies that come out in Hollywood, I kind of have to agree with Brown. I feel like they're going to show you in a subservient role. They're not going to show anything that is like there's a part of history in Sierra Leone where black women, and I forget what they were called. But there were these black women that spoke, they were French or whatever, but they were black, born in Africa. They owned whites, so they specifically had a lot of white male slaves. I forget. But that would be crazy to see in a film, but you'll never hear that. And if my black African history teacher hadn't been from Africa, I wouldn't have never known that. But types of things like that you never get to see. Or even it's not just in slave and black movies, because a lot of those movies like The Help are about take your butt whipping with dignity. And as if there's something, they take the higher moral ground. Meanwhile, all the white people in the movie are wealthy. That's not how it was. And then if you go and look at the whole situation with Monsters Ball and how racist the whole Oscar organization is, and that they gave her an Oscar for that, let's see Samuel L. Jackson do that to Angelina Jolie and watch how much outrage there'll be if something like that happens. I tell you what, take somebody like Angelina Jolie, supposed to be sexy. I don't know why, but she's supposed to be. And let her get dripped out like that, like Halle Berry, which they tried to get Angela Bassett to play that role. Look at who Angela Bassett, look at the type of role she plays. Look at the type of woman she's supposed to be. That's what they wanted to give you. They playing chess. That's how I always say the same thing.
But my question,
they're trying to control you.
Okay, because listen, I asked the question because somebody brought up 12 Years a Slave. And in the last couple of years, there have been several movies in reference to slavery, in reference to things that have happened in African-American past. But when I listen
to people
who... That's
all we've ever done is been slaves.
Let me finish. What I'm saying is we have... I don't see a lot of white folks standing in line going to see these movies. And so we're watching them, and we keep on recycling our past, and like we don't know it. Yet it's a part of American history, and we don't act like anybody else needs to be a part of it. And so you have white America who watches this, and they may or may not see it at all. That's why you have 12 Years of Slave being getting nominated for an Academy Award, but not Oprah Winfrey and the Help.
Oh, she did a terrible job.
I'm sorry, and it was called The Butler. It was called The Butler, not Help.
She did a terrible job in that, though.
But I'm just saying. We have all these movies coming up, and they're coming out more and more right now, but I don't see where it's helping the socioeconomic status of African Americans across the board, yet these movies are coming out like and they're making money off of them. So either you're going to put you back in slavery or you're going to laugh you into buffoonery. But it's not making any of us better.
I think you have a point there, because a very poignant movie that I saw about African Americans was the Dr. Ben Carson story, and it was on Lifetime, and I love that. But I was like, why wasn't this in the movie theaters?
And it's not talked, and they don't want you to know about Dr. Carson.
Made for TV. No,
I disagree with him politically, but his story is very, very.
How can you disagree with him politically? I can't even.
Easily.
I can't even
I can
grasp.
Open my
I can't
mouth
listen.
And
listen. I'm just
what
saying
is
it's impossible to disagree.
Yes, it is.
No, it's no.
Did
it's,
you hear Clarence making ask a question?
Well,
after you
Clarence,
talking,
but that's
he's the
difference.
Diva.
No, it's not. He's not the same as Diva. The Diva's. Diva is doing this by her training. This is her training saying what she's just saying because.
Just stop. You don't even have to take it there.
Let her like the movie and not agree with the guy's politics. What's the big deal?
Hold on, Brown.
Because of this, when we talk, she doesn't say that she disagrees with Ben Carson's thoughts. She says just the opposite. But when you bring it on face
value,
no,
I do disagree with him politically.
You guys were
going to
go somewhere else with this, and
yeah.
I was going back to the movie, and y'all were going to stop.
Let it go. It doesn't matter. That's not the biggest point that
it
I made.
Matter.
The point was, no, it doesn't. The
hold
biggest
on,
point
Diva,
I made was.
Annie. Yeah, you can go ahead.
I'm sorry, but the saddest thing about minorities in the media is there's so little representation that the representation that we do have for minorities is just all clumped together. There are no Asian Americans in the media. There are no African Americans in the media. It's all white people, and it's just white heteronormative cisgender values. And
it's changing a little bit,
but it's a very slow change. And when we turn on the TV, when we go to the movies, it doesn't represent the population. Young kids need role models that look like them. They need positive role models.
But it shouldn't be in television. It shouldn't be in movies. My role model should not be
in
a movie.
Unfortunately,
that's
the way America works these days.
No, but it shouldn't. My role model should be in my house, not in my movie and not in my television.
Maybe role model is the wrong word, but when you turn on the TV and you don't see anybody that looks like you, that makes you feel like crap, doesn't it?
But you got a bunch of gay people. Everybody's gay.
We don't really have many.
Oh,
yeah,
we do.
We have a lot of gay stereotypes.
No, we got a lot of gay folks. Every show you see, you will see a gay man. Everyone. Hold on, Alabama. Hold on. We got too many people talking. Go ahead, 314.
I'm saying that you got children watching this madness at the same time. So I kind of understand where you're going. It seems like they're directing the population to a certain way because it's like once we die off, it's like the children are going to be used to men kissing each other on TV and 7 years a slave. And that was my point before, because we have a new generation of children out that need to know the hogwash has been out when we were young. And we got to pick and choose to find where the truth is, pretty much.
Because I'm looking at this, and I'm saying this is not helping us. All it's doing is reconditioning us so they can actually come back and mobilize us the next time they need to be mobilized.
That's right.
So every time I look around, they're going to be talking about they're going to put y'all back in change, and we go stand in line and go vote for Massa, and we're not going to know who Massa really is.
Oh, God. No.
And those who, and
what
those
happened
who speak
last
like
time?
That don't understand that the powers that be, it ain't on black folk no more. They're going to do this to everybody. Everybody.
There you go. That's true. It's true. That's true. And they're doing it to everybody, but they use us as a pilot program. Hold on, Brown. But they use us as a pilot program and as a forerunner before they go and turn it on to everyone else.
Let me give you an example, Tracy. Okay, let's take, you know, what you just said about the voting. Now, we had a couple years ago, even though he lost the election, we had Al Gore running. Okay, I'll pull back. We had Al Gore running for office, whose father tried to stop every civil rights legislation in history. And not only that, when he lost the election, the black people were trying to say, look, use us because our votes were disenfranchised in a certain part of Florida. And he wrote them back and said, look, we're not going to use that African-American issue to argue our point. That's what he said. That's what what's that lawyer, Vahey's, or he said, I can't remember his name. Now, let's contrast that with this. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not a Mitt Romney fan. But Mitt Romney's father was so enjoined with the Civil Rights Act and with the Civil Rights Movement, he made a doggone march in Detroit in support of Dr. King in the South. Got 35% of the black vote when he ran for president. But by the time Mitt Romney runs for president, who has the same values as his father had, he doesn't even get looked at.
But this again,
and why? Because it's been conditioned in you to automatically reject him because they've made it out that conservatives and Republicans are something that they are not by these movies and by these little shows on TV and all of this stuff. And that's how they herd you to go vote every time you go vote.
Now I disagree.
That's right.
How can you disagree with that?
At
what point?
Mitt Romney, when it came out to outreach,
mm-hmm.
Republicans and Mitt Romney in the African-American community, they didn't even plow the ground.
Understood.
So they didn't speak to it. I would have rather gone back to Ken Blackwell. Because see, Al Gore and Mitt Romney there's a difference between the two.
Did you understand my historical reference?
I understand. We're talking about you, okay. Father to father, but just because mm-hmm. my father was a good guy, don't make me one.
That's true.
What I'm saying is father to father. But Mitt Romney did not reach out to black folks.
No,
and he did not speak to. And when he tried, he didn't even speak to black issue at all.
Understood.
But when I say this, my problem with I come to watching these movies that are coming out, they're coming out to maintain the status quo. And maintain the status quo is to tell you that you're not being empowered. To keep and like the young man said when we first started out this, and it was called Black Authority. What he said when he talked about when the civil rights leaders went to Barney's to talk about what's going wrong here.
Uh-huh.
And if I'm not mistaken, Barney's is owned by whom? Isn't that a Wexler?
Oh, Lex?
I'm going right now. Wexler. But when I look at who actually, when we look at this and our spending patterns and our social economic patterns, it isn't a holding pattern. They don't want us to be free. And they don't want us to be free in our mind. You can be free without change, but you don't want to be free in your mind. And if you're not free in your mind, you're not going to get anywhere. And we keep on going backwards on this. We're moving backwards because freedom is a freedom of thought, freedom of speech, freedom is of clarity, where you know where you're going, you know where you want to go, and you have the ability to get there even if you never make it. And so they keep on bringing up these movies, but they're not educational. They're not helping me get a job. They're not helping me with race relations. They're not helping me with my friends and my family and my community. They're not integrating me in. They're not giving me an education to make me go back and do better. All they're doing is telling me, you're nothing but a slave. You came out of this, and you're no better now than you were before.
Absolutely. And they want you like that so that you continue to look to that political structure to help you.
And that therein lies the problem in a nutshell.
That's right. That's right.
Because we keep on drinking the same Kool-Aid, and then all of a sudden they're going to tell me they're going to put y'all back in chains, and we stand in line for a president who does not look out for our social economic status as a whole, and he's a black man.
And to be honest, too, sis, and I not to hurt anybody's feelings, but this was just part of the Kool-Aid, too, baby.
What's that?
I said this was just part of the Kool-Aid, too. For real. It's all a part of the Kool-Aid.
Well, it is that because if you don't sit up and do something for yourself, especially. Now, this is where I do agree with D-Vat when she says it's our fault now. We have the ability because we have more dollars in our neighborhood that if the black community could spend their money with each other in businesses, we'd be the seventh largest nation in the world.
Yeah, we can't can't get a credit union.
I got you. But I'm saying,
Jeff, I've never been up there, right? I'm sure you play the clubs up there. I guarantee you that like in Montgomery, which is supposed to be one of the poor, we're in the South, we're one of the poorer states. I bet I can come to Youngstown and go to a club. There's going to be a bunch of African-American men in that club buying bottles with sparklers all on top of them. They're buying 6 and 7 bottles at a time right now. I bet I can go Friday night and find, and it'll be in every club across America. That's the thing. Everybody's spending money buying bottles, but we can't own nothing.
Let me break this down really quick. Let me think about. I'm not a drinker, okay? So let me break down the alcohol industry. You've got Jay-Z, who now has black vodka now that ain't no good, and I said ain't. It ain't a good vodka. It's just got a black name on it.
What vodka are you on?
They gave him K-Rock.
Ciroc is it's an excellent
vodka. Listen to what I'm saying.
Ciroc is a fine vodka, actually.
It's not a fine vodka compared to your finest vodka.
Okay.
But he doesn't own the vodka. He's just the name on the vodka.
Okay.
You got Jay, not Jay-Z, but what's his name?
Diddy.
You got, what's his name?
Diddy.
Michael Jordan. Hold on.
Jay-Z has Ace of Spades.
There you go. There's another one. You got Michael Jordan, who just got hijacked. You got robbed the other day trying to sign some tennis shoes that cost too much in Chicago. We got all these people with money, yet they don't own the company. They just put their name on it so they'll sell it to you.
Yeah.
Because white folks still ain't eating and drinking Ciroc. They still drinking Belvedere and four olives and that other one.
Four Loko.
I totally disagree with you, but I got you. Top shelf. It depends on what kind of bar you're talking about, too.
Your top bars that are going to sell. Black folks drink top shelf liquor. We all know that.
A lot of times, yeah.
But you know, when it comes down to a vodka, if you look at the ranking order, his vodka is not at the top of the sales order.
Okay.
And he doesn't own the vodka in which he tells you his name is on.
Right.
That's a problem.
I mean, he owns some part of
it.
But
Tracy, black people are the flavor. Just like if you make a steak or something, you got to put some seasoning on it. Black people are the flavor of the world. They give you what makes America. Justin Bieber is an example of black flavor going into a white system. That they've been doing this for hundreds of years. They say all the inventions, a lot of inventions that you will be surprised that we have that's supposed to come from America came from black people. Like the bulb that goes around the light bulb is a black invention. Right. So the whole situation with this whole the business rapper, these smart businesses, what they're doing is they're getting these rappers and using them, pimping them, and then we as black people are told to look up to these people because we actually think that they're making all the money from all the sales of these because we don't understand business. Like, you know, Denny's getting a little small part, just like with Jay-Z with the part of the ownership of the Nets. That's what I'm saying. We just get caught into this stuff, and these guys are just being pimps. They're like prostitutes that's used to extract money from us. And then it goes into other people that don't even want to think they won't even want to walk on the same side of the street we walk on, but they want our money.
And
that's what Black Authority was saying. That's what he was saying from the jump.
And from the creator point of view also, it's not just your money, but it also takes your creative soul, your everything, because if you are trying to get in the industry with a different sound or a different whatever, it's like the artist is forced to follow a bandwagon in order to get heard, and then the rest is, you know, of course, them putting out information and programming the people with ignorance and stupidity and foolishness. And a bunch of madness.
But look at it. Look, even country music has been affected by hip hop. Every hip hop is affected. Every genre of music, every artist. But who gets paid off it?
Right. But see, it's worldwide now. Hip hop is a worldwide business now. So now you got young children over in other countries with their pants down low looking crazy, young ladies dropping it like it's hot.
Country Western is the
mainstream American culture.
I appeal to the youth.
Good.
Sorry, mainstream American culture has been stealing and appropriating stuff from, like, obscure black culture for decades, if not centuries. Like, first it was jazz, then it was rock and roll, then it was Elvis basically singing the same songs that black artists sang, only he was this cute little white boy. Now we have Miley Cyrus taking, like...
There you go, baby.
We was twerking 30 years ago with Lou, long time ago.
But now it's mainstream. The argument ain't who was popping, the argument is why. The Lucky Sperm Club, that's all Miley Cyrus is making it mainstream. Now everybody knows what it is. Now everybody knows it. Now it's extremely popular.
Now we know what twerking is.
Just because we have a white representative to the mainstream. Justin Bieber stealing hip-hop culture, appropriating it.
Justin Timberlake.
Macklemore, even to some extent, like Eminem. Everybody says, oh, Eminem's the best rapper. Well, he's the only white rapper. I don't think it's a coincidence. I think the Beastie Boys are
the highest-selling hip-hop group ever. Why is that? Because they're white.
Hold on, wait a minute. That's not the problem. Let's not get away from the problem.
Remember where things came from.
Let's not get away from the problem. The problem is the fact that it's turning women into whores and men into womanizers.
At least one time, I would make a man buy me a sandwich before. Or something. He would have an affinity for me. I was not making process cots out of kids.
Let me say this too. When it comes to those people you did mention, Justin Timberlake, musical genius. What's his name? The other Eminem, musical genius. Okay, now the others I can't speak to, but those two deserve the position they have because they cold.
But let me say it this way. Let me say it this way, and I'm going to get this really out. They may be a musical genius, but everybody gets it from somewhere. And I have no problem with people, becoming a part of pop culture. The problem is. And I have to put this back on African Americans because when I watch the talent shows, the problem is we don't put the time in anymore because it takes a discipline to become an artist. And right now, African Americans are putting the time in to become the artist that they need to become, and that's being real. Because you can even tell when you watch The Voice, you can tell who puts the time in, who doesn't put the time in, and who does what's necessary and who doesn't do it.
Okay.
And no matter what we do in life, you got to put your dues and you got to put your time in. Because if you don't put your time in, you won't become proficient at it. Whether it be radio, whether it be talk, whether it be news, whether it be studying, whatever it is, you better put your dues in. And you can tell some of these guys. Oh, come on now. Now don't get me wrong. Some of them can't sing. I'm talking about
Hollywood is not like that. You can put time all you want to in. Hollywood is a different set of rules.
That's right.
Alabama. It's a different set of rules. But again, you still have to put some time in. Don't get me wrong. You gotta memorize the line sometime if you can't read. You gotta put something in.
Will Smith worked hard. I'll give you that.
She's a member of the
Lucky Sperm Club. Heck no.
The reason she is where she is because her daddy was where he was.
Exactly.
But again, Billy Cyrus put the time in to put his daughter on the block.
True that.
Hold up.
And if Billy Cyrus hadn't put the time in, she would never be where she is.
The point she was making was that black people are, like I said, the flavor of America. They don't get nothing for it, but we are the flavor. Everything else comes from a certain flavor.
Alabama,
we are the flavor of it.
It's even portrayed in the media.
It's like you got Kool-Aid without sugar in it.
I agree with you. We've always been the flavor of the day. But what I'm saying is, at one time, no white person could Alabama. At one time, there were, at one time in America, no white person could get up and out-sing a black female or a black male. Because all we did from morning to night was sing. Ain't no way. You couldn't, you, there's no, they couldn't do this. I mean, they could, they, if you look at the Temptations and the Supremes and the doo-wops during that time, they couldn't do, they couldn't get it down. But what they've done is they begin to practice and begin to count in their head so that they can dance better than we do because they put the time in. Now we don't put the time in.
Christina Aguilera, do run. She sang like a sister. But she listened to black women to get like that.
Again, she put the time in. If you ask her how many hours she spends trying to sing like a sister, she will tell you it's more hours than I put in singing.
Christina,
so every white singer that's selling is, I just outwork every black singer. Is that what you're saying?
She had to put the time in to develop that term. Your daughter is putting the time in.
Beyonce done outworked everybody, right?
No. Beyonce ain't outworked nobody.
I'm not saying that I don't want to get it twisted. Like I enjoy singers. I enjoy the instrument of a human voice. But at the same time, if you're singing about something that does not, I've been trying to keep the same point that Sister Tracy was keeping at first. But if what you're singing about does not uplift or does not do anything to benefit anyone but yourself. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, Miley Cyrus dropping it like it's hot. Yeah, we've been dropping it like it's hot from the beginning. But dog, why should we try to? You know, no one should want to have credit for making little girls, man, drop it like it's hot. And the funny thing is, I don't understand why we give big ups to Miley Cyrus because she can drop it like it's hot like a sister. Well, now it's affecting the white community.
But no, that she ain't even dropping that like that. She looked like a movie.
World star hip hop.
Like straight sick mind.
Alabama, hold up.
Waiting for you know what I'm saying? With this music going out there, the funny thing is, yeah, we as adults might listen to this, and yeah, we might keep up with this and all that. But the main point is the demographic that they go to are basically children, teen to children. And we can argue all day about, well, it's the parents' fault. I mean, once you come out the womb, you hear. I've learned that a long time ago. Once you come out the womb, you are here. Now, yes, your parents are charged to take care of you and to care for you, but pretty much, in reality, they're not. Because once you hear, you are here. And
440.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Finish your comment. Finish your thought. But I got to go to the next caller because I got to get out of here. I'm done.
But thank you all. It basically, we got to do better. Everybody.
We got to do better. Everybody. And we're going to do better in 2014. We'll be back on Monday. Hey, 440, your mic is on.
Hey, Tracy, it's AJ. Just wanted to say I agree with you 100%. It's all about the time and hard work you put in. No doubt, no matter what your job is, no matter what you want to do, whether your dad or mom was famous before you, you always have to put the time and effort in.
And I have to say that because, I mean, if I look back in the time that they put in, we didn't have nothing else better to do. So now we want to play Xbox and then get up and sing and not practice. You got
to
practice. I don't care how good you are.
Yeah. I just want to tell you that I agree with you and wish everyone there a Merry Christmas.
And have Merry Christmas, and
hey,
I love you, AJ.
Yeah.
205,
you
your mic is on. Love you too. 205,
hey,
your mic's on. Merry Christmas, Dick.
Just wanted to tell everybody Merry Christmas and be safe tonight and tomorrow.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Dick.
Merry
hey,
Christmas.
Listen, we're at the end of the day. God bless you guys. We love you. We'll see you guys on Monday.
Love you, Jeff.
And
I love you. Love you too, bro.
And Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. I'll see you then. And thanks for the conversation. Alabama, I owe you for this one. You know that, right?
Alabama,
hey,
you are
the man. I owe you for
this one.
Y'all need
Alabama,
to play some
more
videos.
I'm going to get off the phone and fight with Jeff. I'll leave the phone line down for you guys to hold on to it. We'll see you guys on Monday.
I love you all. Love you all.
I guess she done called out. I thought we had 4 minutes left.
Anyone there?